self, which I think is great. So maybe convict him in 10 minutes instead of 25. And Kobe Bryant's trial, they're going to make a decision on whether to have that or not. We'll have that as well. And then we got an unbelievable story about a female teacher having sex with a 14-year-old student, and she walks. She walks. She gets away with it. And we'll have that on the O'Reilly Factor tonight. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny, 75 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by your Greater Denver Area Toyota dealers. One guy entered the Outback Steakhouse in Thornton this morning. He was in quest of more than a bloomin' onion, though, as we hear from Officer Matt Barnes.
A lone suspect entered our Outback restaurant, 497 East 120th Avenue, contacted some employees in the office that was prior to opening, demanded some money, and then fled in an unknown direction with an undetermined amount of cash.
Barnes says the employees were shook up over the stick-up, but nobody was hurt. The thief is described as a white man, 5'5", 120 pounds, wearing a black sweatshirt, blue jeans, and a black headband, wearing sunglasses, and he carried a black backpack and a small handgun. Former CU quarterback John Hessler is in a coma at a Denver hospital. He was injured yesterday afternoon in an accident on Interstate 76 just north of I-25. Hessler, who quarterbacked the Buffs between 1995 and 97, is in critical condition with a collapsed lung and a major head injury. Hessler made an impression on Colorado fans when he came in off the bench to lead the Buffaloes to a 29-21 win over then third-ranked Texas A&M in 1995. Today is the day we could learn whether the Kobe Bryant sexual assault case becomes the Kobe Bryant trial. Eagle County Judge Frederick Gannett said he hoped to decide today whether the case would be bound to the county district court for a trial. Most observers, including Indiana-based Mark Shaw, a former defense attorney, believe there will indeed be a trial.
He'll look at the case, the points the prosecution made, the points the defense made, and then decide whether there's just that probable cause that a crime did occur. And my bet is that he will find that to be the case, and the case will be bound over to the district court.
The 25-year-old L.A. Lakers star faces 4 years to life in prison if he's convicted of assaulting a 19-year-old employee at an Eagle County resort where he was staying in June. In the wake of last week's decision by Denver D.A. Bill Ritter not to prosecute the Denver police officer who shot and killed Paul Chiles, protesters will hold a march and rally at Civic Center Park this afternoon. Police presence will be increased, and members of the media will be on hand to cover the event. Black leaders are calling for a peaceful march, but they have urged marchers to carry video cameras to videotape police action during the rally. The march and rally begin at 4:30 this afternoon. The prosecution has presented its opening statements in the trial of D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad. Prosecutors said they would present evidence that links Muhammad to the sniper attacks that killed 10 people last year. Correspondent Kathy Culpepper, who's following the case, says the evidence was gathered from a variety of sources.
They say they've taken DNA samples off of food wrappers that were left at the scene of the crimes. They've taken fingerprints off of a map that was found. They also say that there was a glove found at one of the shootings, the final shooting that killed the bus driver, and they say the match to that glove was found in the trunk of the Caprice.
The Caprice is the vehicle allegedly used in the sniper shootings. Prosecutors painted a dark picture of Muhammad, giving graphic details of the murders and portraying him as a person bent on spreading fear throughout the Washington, D.C. area. Muhammad was granted permission today to refuse counsel and act as his own attorney, and he's just completed his opening statement in his capital murder trial, in which he declared his innocence. Muhammad went on a rambling tirade and said the prosecution was lying about him and what he had done, saying the truth will come out in the trial. Muhammad first compared the case to Cookies and his daughter, and then compared it to a clean glass and a dirty glass, he being the clean glass. He added it would be up to the jurors to decide whether he was the clean glass. The CIA came out today saying a technical analysis has concluded that the voice on a tape broadcast on an Arab television network is likely that of Osama bin Laden. The voice urges Iraqis to wage a holy war against U.S. forces in Iraq. It goes on to say, quote, quote, "We, God willing, will continue to fight you, and we will continue martyrdom operations inside and outside the United States until you abandon your oppression and foolish acts." Meanwhile, another American soldier has been killed in Iraq, five others wounded. Witnesses in the town of Fallujah say it happened when a U.S. Humvee military vehicle was hit by a roadside bomb, and attackers then opened fire on the Americans with small arms. In sports, a tough day for the Denver Broncos yesterday as they lost 28-20 to the Minnesota Vikings. They also lost quarterback Steve Berline to a dislocated finger on his throwing hand. He was already covering for QB Jake Plummer, who's nursing a broken foot. The Avs come home tomorrow to play the Boston Bruins. The Avs are now 2-2 for the regular season after losing to Edmonton 6-3 over the weekend. And the Denver Nuggets will be in Portland tonight for a preseason game against the Trailblazers. The Nuggets are 3-2 during the preseason. Toyota owners win a $10,000 American Express branded gift card, no purchase required, by an oil and filter change, battery and brake inspection, plus tire rotation for $35.95 through $10.31. See participating dealers for details. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
There are a few reasons to wish summer were still here. One, because it's summer, and two, because winter just beats up your home. The snow comes, then the freeze, then ice expands in the cracks in the walls. This is Greg Dobbs, and welcome to the freeze-thaw cycle. That's just a normal part of winter in Colorado. But damage from the cycle is normal, too, which is why you want to call Ironclad Painting. Using Benjamin Moore Premium Paints, they can stop the damage before it starts. They do large and small home remodeling and handyman jobs, too. For paint, as I say, they use premium paint from Benjamin Moore. And for peace of mind, they guarantee everything for 5 whole years, some materials for life. But can you trust them? Well, Ironclad is a family owned business and has been for more than 20 years. They'll always be there for you. So give them a call at 303-347-8099. Please tell them Greg Dobbs sent you. 347-8099. Ironclad Painting, home of Benjamin Moore Premium Paints and the Ironclad Guarantee.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by New Metabolife Ultra, and a pretty good drive out there right now. The highways are mostly wide open. Speeds on the high side from downtown into the tech center. Watch for an accident northbound Santa Fe right at Alameda. That's really the only problem we got working right now around the metro area. Are you on a diet? Try the New Metabolife Ultra with an appetite suppressant and formulated for energy. New Metabolife Ultra is available everywhere you shop. Metabolife number one in weight loss. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Broke a record high of 86 degrees yesterday, nearing the record high today with sunshine and a high of 81. Into tonight, mostly clear, 46, and we really do not have a lot to talk about the next few days. Just some sunshine on Tuesday, a high of 81. Mostly sunny Wednesday, 82. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 75 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we have a lot to talk about. And also, I want to let you know that later we're going to be joined by Linda Babcock. She's written a book called Women Don't Ask, Negotiation and the Gender Divide. I guess women don't know how to negotiate, but I think they do know how to negotiate. Maybe they just don't do it in the typical ways. Tomorrow, folk singer Judy Collins will be with us in studio. Wednesday, David Marinus, who is Bill Clinton's biographer. He wrote first in his class. He's an editor for the Washington Post. He'll be joining us Thursday, choreographer Twyla Tharp. Next week, Ann Garrell's Naked in Baghdad from NPR. But joining us right now from London, Nicholas Davies, an old friend of mine, a biographer of Diana and the royal family. And Diana is back in the news again because there are these allegations from her former butler that she knew she was going to be killed in an auto accident. Nicholas Davies, thank you so much for joining us today.
Enid, nice to talk to you again. A pleasure.
Thank you. Tell me about this bombshell, and does it come as any surprise to you? You have written a book about Diana called Diana Secrets and Lies. You've written quite extensively about the royal family, and you have also been a newspaper editor. You've had a very fascinating career. But do these latest allegations strike you as odd in the timing, believable, unbelievable? What do you say?
Well, they confirm, in fact, virtually everything that I wrote in my latest book, which only came out in August, as you just mentioned, called Diana's Secrets and Lies. In that, I have provided evidence showing, in fact, that she was murdered, that she was deliberately killed by the British Secret Service in Paris, and I provide evidence to show that it was no accident, Enid.
What was your evidence?
Well, for example, allegedly she did not belt up her safety harness when she got in that car, which was untrue, she did. But what she didn't know is that the buckle had been tampered with, that the buckle, the pin that holds the buckle in place, had been filed down. So had the buckle that Dodie was in at all. So she was happily driving through Paris, remember, at speeds of over 100 miles an hour.
So that if there was some sort of...
When the accident occurred, the belt just gave way.
How do you know that those belts were filed down and it wasn't simply a miss, an accident?
Well, because both of them, precisely the same thing that happened to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that I know from the sources who told me exactly how it was done, that's only part of it, were people from Britain's Secret Service who took part in it.
So you had testimony from people who were a part of it? Were they saying anything about this publicly? There's really been no investigation, has there?
Well, there's been no inquest. I mean, it's been 6 years since the accident, and there's been no inquest, which is just unbelievable. Inquests in this country used to take place within months of someone dying, but 6 years?
How come there was no clamor? And I saw you at that time. I was in London to cover the Diana funeral. I had been there years before to cover her wedding to Charles, and the flowers, the outpouring of affection was so massive, the pictures didn't begin to describe what was going on. How was it that nobody was clamoring for an investigation or an inquest soon after?
Well, first of all, people were so shocked by what had happened that they believed that it was an accident, and it looked like an accident. I mean, for example, we had this story about Henri Paul being totally drunk because of his blood. I've shown evidence that was not the case. He was not drunk. And the reason we know this is because there's a record kept of the numbers of drinks he had that night, and he had 2 drinks.
Was he on the payroll? Was he an intelligence operative?
Yes, he was. You're right, Enid.
For whom?
He was on the payroll of the French intelligence service, who were also involved in helping the Brits carry out this killing.
Why were the French involved?
Well, only because it took part in France. It took place in France, rather, because the British did not want to do it in the UK, because they thought the press would never stop. But they deemed it more sensible to do it overseas from their point of view, and to a certain extent, the French Secret Service did help, but didn't take any direct part in it.
What is your evidence for all of this?
I mean, it's cumulative evidence. It's cumulative evidence of what was happening at that time. I mean, I do know that the royal family wanted her out. I do know that at that time she was planning to become the patron of the world's refugees, and she was going to start that campaign by going to a Palestinian refugee camp. Now, this Enid, uh-huh, was at a time when President Clinton was trying to push through a Middle East peace plan. Can you imagine what would have happened? Would have happened with Diana standing in the middle of a refugee camp surrounded by these wretched children?
Were the American intelligence services involved in any of this, do you think?
They were informed. I'm reliably told that they were informed.
They were informed that in advance that this was going to go down?
I understand so, yes.
What about the royal family? Do they have deniability here? Were they informed anywhere along the line? Would the Queen have known?
Enid, the Queen would not have been informed at all. It would have been done deliberately. She would have been informed afterwards that she had died in an accident. Nothing else would have been confirmed to them whatsoever.
And Charles,
they didn't
and Charles,
know, they couldn't talk.
And Charles, well, it gives them deniability. And Charles as well?
Oh, absolutely. They would keep them away from that. This was a decision taken by MI5, Britain's Secret Service, because they knew the situation had grown to such an extent where she had become such an extraordinarily powerful, politically powerful woman. I mean, Enid, as we've discussed before, you know that she was responsible, basically, for ending the use of AP, anti-personnel mines, in warfare. I mean, on her own. She made two appearances, one in Bosnia, one in Angola, saying this must stop. And within months, the electors of not only the United States, but also most of the countries of Western Europe, had agreed. And they were stopped. And this was, you know, a young slip of a girl.
My guest is Nicholas Davies. He's coming to us from London. His new book, Diana, Secrets and Lies. He has been a newspaper editor. He has been involved in many, many high-level intrigues of his own. And he has been a prolific biographer of the royal family, a friend of Philip's. And his books are wonderful. Nicholas, tell me, why Paul Burrell got into some trouble last year, accused of taking some of Diana's possessions and so on. The Queen really got him off the hook. Is he a reliable reporter here, and is it just another opportunity for him to make a splash, sell some more books? Why is it coming out now, this letter that is in her hand? They've redacted the name of the person. She says she's aware that there was a plot hatched about a year before she actually died, that it was going to be an auto accident. How did she know, do you think? And can you say who the person was? Because I know the libel laws in England are a lot tougher than they are here.
Yes, I can reveal to you people overseas, the citizens of the United States, that the person that she said was planning to have her seriously injured, as she put it, in a road accident, was Prince Philip. The person that she always referred to as Hitler, and to which the boys also referred to him as Hitler.
Wait a minute. She says Prince Philip. Do you think that he was actively involved, or did he know? Where did this idea come from? Was he actively involved?
Let me say this.
Why did she think it was Prince Philip, other than there was a lot of animosity between the two of them?
There was a lot of animosity between the two of them. And as I say in my book, she became very scared of him, because after the breakdown of the marriage with Charles, Philip became, I mean, she found it nauseating, but he was trying to, like, how can I put it, putting it bluntly, take her to bed. And that was a lot.
Wait. Philip was coming on to Diana?
Yeah.
Nicholas, I know you're an old friend of Philip's, but how do you know this? I mean, how can you know that?
Because I know that I'll tell you how I know it, because she told a girlfriend of hers, right, who she knew very well, who passed it to me, that she felt it nauseous whenever he came close to her, and that was the reason. She just really did feel that bad about it.
It's not the imaginings of an overactive imagination, no?
I can't answer that.
I mean, Philip, there have been rumors of
what she said.
But there have been rumors about Philip for years that he that he was not Prince Monogamy.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, you've read my books. I mean, I give details of the many, many women that he had affairs with while married to the Queen.
Well, and, of course, that he arrives for his marriage to the Queen with about 30 cents in his pocket, not much more than that. How much was it?
That's right, 50 cents, actually.
Are you serious? Was it 50
cents? No, it was in fact, $10, if you really want to know.
$10, that's all he had.
Yeah, and a suitcase with clothes in. Nothing else to his name. No car, no apartment, nothing.
The Queen must
have a lucky life.
I would say, but the Queen must know. The Queen must have known about his infidelities, and she has decided to turn a blind eye.
Correct. Absolutely correct. I mean, he bullies her the way he bullies everyone.
All right. Now, what would his role have been then in these shocking allegations that Diana thought that there would be an auto accident arranged and that they were going to try and kill her? First of all, how did she know that? Where did she get her information? And secondly,
feared it might happen.
And why did she link Philip to it? And what is his actual role in this?
Well, he had no active role whatsoever, from what I understand. But let me say this, which I also state in my book for the first time ever. The royal family always have a connection through a male of the species with MI5. It originally was Lord Mountbatten, who, if you remember, was murdered by the IRA in Ireland when his fishing boat was blown up in August 1979.
And is the uncle of Prince Philip.
Correct.
Dickie Mountbatten, yes?
Now, he was the MI5 contact. When he was killed, Prince Philip became the MI5 contact. It's never with the sovereign. It's always with somebody else, very close to the sovereign, who is informed of what is going to happen.
Now, how do you know that Philip is the MI5 contact in the Ralph family? How do you know that, Nicholas?
You know that contacts that I have.
I know
how impeccable they are. You know every book that I've written, I've got into trouble for writing, and every time it's been proved absolutely correct 5, 7, 8 years later.
Now, you allege this in the new book, Diana, Secrets and Lies, and they haven't sued you in England, where they have much tighter laws about that sort of thing than we do here.
Well, it hasn't come out yet in the UK.
Okay.
It was published by American publishers deliberately because I knew what would happen over here. They'd ban it.
It cannot be published in the UK?
Oh, well, I think, someone will. When enough people have understood, bought it through Amazon.com, they'll say there's no point in stopping it anymore, and they'll let it in.
Nicholas Avey, so Paul Burrell, who was under a cloud himself, we can believe these allegations?
Yes, we can, because they were definitely, this letter was in her handwriting. It's undeniably her handwriting. I've seen it on numbers of occasions, and therefore it's undeniable. The only odd thing about it is why he left it till now, I know it's for his new book. It does seem extraordinary that he did not come out with this immediately after her, because, of course, that's how she died.
Why do you think he has waited so long, to create suspense and to let enough time alone?
I don't know why he waited that long, but he did. Maybe he wanted to wait till he wrote a book.
Do you think that maybe he didn't have the letter immediately? Maybe the letter only came into his possession recently?
It's possible, but he says it was handed to him.
That he has had it all this time?
Well, it's quite likely.
All right. Now,
I don't believe what she was saying in the letter. It was just yet another of her attempts to show how beleaguered she was and how ghastly and awful the royal family were being to her.
All right. Now, I know you're going to be on CNN very shortly. So let me just ask again. These were her fears that there was going to be an accident created. She thought that Prince Philip, and that's the name that's been redacted so that nobody in the UK can see it, but that's the person you say it is, that he was involved in setting it up in some way or knew about it.
Well, she alleged this. Remember, we don't know it occurred. She alleged that.
She felt that he was behind it or had some role.
Correct.
All right. And now, you are saying that your evidence, all of your evidence, tells us that, in fact, this was an accident. What appears to be an accident was actually arranged by the intelligence services of England and in concert with France, and that the American intelligence services were informed. And this you know because the seatbelts were filed down. And what other evidence do you have, Nicholas?
Well, we have the evidence that the driver, Henri Paul, was allegedly drunk because they said this is the blood they took from him, and it showed him with an immense amount of alcohol in his blood. But the facts we also have from the hotel where he was that entire evening before he drove them away is that he'd had two drinks, which he signed for.
And that was it. And
both ways. Plus the fact we have all seen pictures of him walking around that hotel and talking to people. There was no suggestion that the man was that drunk, that he couldn't even walk properly or straight. I mean, he looked totally sober.
And you knew that he was in the employ of the French intelligence service.
Yes, that is true.
And what other information do you have? What other evidence?
Well,
the seatbelts, the drinks that don't add up to the blood level.
Plus the Fiat motor car. I mean, it is the world knows, and everyone's accepted that a white Fiat Uno was in that tunnel, and there was a crash. Now, it is just unbelievable that that man, the driver of that car, if he was innocent and did not belong to the secret services, the intelligence services, it's impossible that that man, with all the TV, radio, newspapers full for days and days and days of nothing but Diana, would not have come forward and say, oh, look, I'm terribly sorry, but it was me. They've never been able to trace that car. Rubbish. Unless it was instantly crushed and disappeared from the face of the earth.
So that car was the decoy that caused the crash, and then instantly...
No, in the back of that car, Enid, was a Secret Service guy with a very, very powerful light. Now, this is evidenced by the paparazzi who were following. Remember, the car was going so fast
right.
that he was ordered to do so by the DST, the French service, secret service. They were hundreds of yards behind, and they said they saw this very, very bright light come out of the tunnel, right? And they said it was not from a flashlight; it was far too powerful. That was fired from the back of that Fiat Uno right into the eyes of Henri Paul, the driver. As a result of which, they're so powerful that you don't know where you are. It totally blinds you. That's the idea of it. That's why the car crashed.
But wait a minute. If the Uno was behind, was the Uno behind him or ahead of him?
No. The Uno was traveling slowly in front of him.
Oh, in front of him. Oh, and
yeah.
I see. So then they flash it into his eyes,
yeah.
and that's it. He's blinded. He's disoriented. Crash. And then
yeah.
the Uno escapes somewhere.
And isn't it surprising, Enid, that this Uno's never been found? Rubbish.
Nicholas Davies, this is so juicy. We will talk to you some more, I hope. And we'll be watching you on CNN very shortly.
Okay.
Nicholas Davies.
Nice to talk again.
Wonderful to talk to you. The new book, his new book, Diana, Secrets and Lies. You can order it from Amazon.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Nicholas.
Okay,
a pleasure
care.
As always. You too.
Okay.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to AM 1150 KNRC, the Monday edition of Enid Live. More as we continue on Kobe. More on the Gridiron Show last night. More on Iraq. More on Barbara Bush's memoirs. All of it coming up.
Denver's in-depth talk station. AM 1150 KNRC.
Ever go to the gym and feel like you're competing in a beauty pageant?
Like, oh my God, that outfit is so last year.
Or that you've landed on Planet Meathead, where the necks you see are thicker than your thighs?
Come on, we only have 3,000 more presses to go.
Tired of hearing the grunting just before the weights crash to the floor? Then come to where fitness isn't a competition or a measure of how thick your neck is. Dumbbells Fitness prides itself in attending to the details of a workout and takes care in creating a fun and relaxed atmosphere that makes even the gym phobic feel comfortable. Dumbbells Fitness is the vegetarian of all gyms. They keep their meat in the freezer. Dumbbells Fitness is located on the second floor at the Tabor Center at 17th and Larimer in downtown Denver. Call now, 303-592-7700. That's 303-592-7700. Or log on to dumbbellsfitness.com. Visit us at Dumbbells for your authentic workout.
The Institute of International Education brings well-known experts to Denver to share insights about world affairs. Here's what Washington Post writer T.R. Reid had to say about changes going on right now in Europe.
Right now in Europe, there really is an overwhelming sense of history. An extremely important transformation is underway right now. The Europeans feel this very strongly, and I think when we Americans are there, we can feel it too. There is a sense of really fundamental change, and this change is the unification of Europe, which is very strong. Has gone farther than almost all Americans know. It's important. It matters. In fact, I'd say it's the most important geopolitical transformation of this quarter century. My sense has been that many Americans don't get it, or at least don't see how important it is, or don't see why we should care. My argument is this is important. It is happening. It's gone further than we know, and we better care. We have to care whether we want to or not.
Want to know more? Join us on the web at DenverWorldAffairsCouncil.org.
Let's play a game. Tonight, as you lie in bed listening to KNRCRadio.com, which streams our station 24 hours a day to homes worldwide, lay in the middle of the bed. Doesn't that feel good? You can stretch your arms and legs in all directions and achieve perfect balance. Now you've got both sides of talk radio coming at you through your ears and both sides of the bed holding you in exquisite limbo. Welcome to our world. Hear both sides talk on KNRCRadio.com.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:27 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and later we're going to be joined by Linda Babcock, who talks about how women haven't got the skills to negotiate, or they don't do it as well as men do. But I think they do it differently, to tell you the truth. But maybe we're talking about in a... This is Teresa Hines, who's John Kerry's wife, says this book is an eye-opener, a call to arms, and a plan for action, Negotiation and the Gender Divide, and it's published by the Princeton Press. And Linda is a professor of economics at Carnegie Mellon University's John Hines School of Public Policy and Management. And that was Teresa Hines' first husband before he conked out in a plane crash. And she married John Kerry a little bit later. If you're just tuning in, you missed a very juicy segment. Nicholas Davies is a biographer of many members of the royal family. He's a newspaper editor. He has really good contacts. And is a pal of, or perhaps I should say a former pal of Prince Philip's. And these allegations coming out that Diana knew, she has written a letter of surfaced in her own handwriting a year before her actual death, that intelligence or people plotting against her were going to arrange a car accident. And that's how she was going to be killed. And the person's name was redacted, you'll see, because England has very, very tough libel laws. In the series that's running in the English papers, the person who she names as being part of the plot, his name is redacted. Nicholas said because he can tell a U.S. audience, but he can't say it to a U.K. audience, that person is Prince Philip. And that Prince Philip is the sovereign's contact to military intelligence. And it used to be his uncle, Lord Mountbatten, who was killed by the IRA. Wait a minute. Yes, I keep thinking, getting it confused with the IRS. But anyway, the IRA, in any event, here's what Nicholas Davies is alleging: that American intelligence was warned in advance, knew about it, that this was carried out by British intelligence in concert with French intelligence, that the driver of the vehicle carrying Diana was in fact on the payroll of French intelligence, that his blood alcohol level was never as high as what it really was, that the seatbelts had been previously filed down so that it looked like they caught, but the moment of impact they gave way and they really weren't working, and that that Fiat Uno that was traveling at a slow speed in advance of the limousine that Doty and Diana were in was going very slowly, and there was an intelligence person in the back seat and a very, very powerful light that the point of which was to be shined on the driver of the limousine to blind him, to disorient him, to get him so that the crash would happen. Paparazzi reported this, according to Nicholas, and then that Fiat Uno disappeared, never to be seen again, was crushed, was vaporized, was repainted, disappeared. It does have all the elements of a thriller, doesn't it? So the story will continue to unfold, but the most remarkable thing here is that 6 years after the death of Diana, there has been no inquest, no real investigation as to what actually occurred. And I was there. I had covered her wedding to Charles and came back to cover the funeral, and I cannot begin to describe to you, and the pictures never did it justice, the acres and acres and acres of flowers that were in front of all the various palaces. People didn't know how to express their mourning, their grief, and they did it with these flowers. I mean, it was like mountains. It was Mount Everest of flowers. The pictures simply didn't describe what was going on. If you saw it, your jaw would have dropped. So for that, people to be so passionate about Diana and yet not clamor for an investigation as to what really occurred is pretty remarkable. But you know what? You can only keep secrets for so long, and eventually the truth emerges, and it does sound like Nicholas is telling us a pretty plausible story, and her butler also a pretty plausible story, so we'll see what happens. Last night, I saw Greg Dobbs there. He was a part of the proceedings, Gridiron Show, the press club. It was hilarious. It was really satirical, funny. They did a terrific job. Our own Ed Halloran did a wonderful job. The mayor showed up. He was in it. There were a lot of other people, too, big names that were part of it. Bruce Goldberg from the Press Club did a lot. And let me just, Mike Kaufman, who is the treasurer, was in the show. As I said, the mayor was in the show. Joan Fitzgerald and Andrew Romanoff were both in the show, and they're both legislators. So it was funny. It was a lot of fun, and the Denver Press Club did a terrific job. So thanks to everybody. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. It was narrated. The host was Dave Minchel, who was hilarious, and Wick Rowland from Channel, one of the public TV stations, I want to say Channel 12, was, I get them confused, 6 and 12. Joan Fitzgerald, former clerk and recorder of Jefferson County, and the first woman who was ever elected Jefferson County clerk, and She was elected to the state Senate, represented District 16. She's currently Senate Majority Leader. She was part of the show. So it was a lot of fun. They did a great job. If you have a chance to go next year, do it. It's worth it. I want to talk to you about a couple of things. First of all, no day is complete without a Limbaugh update. Limbaugh in limbo, I guess, would be one way to put it. The tabs coming out over the weekend. The lawyer for the housekeeper said, hey, the National Enquirer saved Rush Limbaugh's life. If he wasn't outed by the National Enquirer, he'd still be popping those 100-odd pills a day. He might have conked out in the middle of a rant. Who knows? So he's in rehab, and the housekeeper hopes that he does well. And Ellen Goodman, writing over the weekend in the Rocky, that she has sympathy for him, even though he would have called it liberal wimpathy. That if you have sympathy, you're just a wimp, wimpathy. And she has more sympathy for him, I'm afraid, than I do. I'm sorry for his situation. He must have been in tremendous pain to do as much to himself as he did, including, if we can believe the research, that there's a correlation between the high intake of drugs like Vicodin and hearing loss, that he was willing to risk everything, that he was such a junkie that his pain was so great that this was the only way he knew how to deal with it, is sort of sad. But I'm afraid I'm not a candidate for liberal wimpathy on this one. 303-382-1150. He was horrible to so many people. And now, I guess, can we spell karma? Also, Mayor Webb and the Webb administration, on their way out, they managed to stuff their pockets with almost $1 million, $850,000. The payouts, most of those payouts were unused sick time. Now, I want to ask you, what company do you work for where if you're not sick, if you don't take your sick time, you get to bank it? I have not ever heard of a company. Maybe some of you work for a company like that. Maybe this is just a city deal. I don't get it. But if you are not sick, you lose it. The whole idea is that if, unfortunately, you get sick, you have the time to be sick and deal with it, but not to bank that money. And in a lousy economy, for Webb and his aides to walk out with almost $1 million in their pockets. And the big winners here of this little lotto were the mayor, former mayor, Wellington Webb, who walked out with almost $67,000 in his pocket. And Stephanie Foote got she got $47,300. She walked out with $47,300 in her pocket for not taking sick time, and Mayor Wellington Webb walked out with almost $67,000 in his pocket. And total, everybody, Tracy Howard, former acting manager of public safety, she walks out with almost $45,000. Teresa Donahue, former environmental health director, she walks out with $47,000 in her pocket. J. Wallace Wortham, former city attorney, he walks out with $43,000. Chris Martinez, former mayor's office of economic development aide, the aide walks out with almost $41,000 in his pocket. Elizabeth Orr, former projects director, she gets almost $36,000. Shepard Neville, former director of the mayor's office of workplace development, he walks out with almost $25,000. And Judy Montero, who seems like a wonderful person, and I have dealt with her office. Former spokesperson for Parks and Rec, she walks out with $20,375. Now, I suppose this is all legal, but it should not have been. And for everybody to walk out because they didn't choose their sick leave, I have a real problem with that. What do you think? 303-382-1150. And is there any company you ever worked for or knew about that lets you bank your unused sick leave? I haven't heard about it. I'd be interested to know. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 75 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Key Bank. Leaders of Denver's black community are calling for a peaceful protest this afternoon in response to Denver DA Bill Ritter's decision last week not to file charges against DPD officer James Turney. He's the officer who shot and killed 15-year-old Paul Childs in July. The protest in March begin at 4:30 this afternoon at Civic Center Park. Former CU quarterback John Hessler is hospitalized in critical condition following an accident yesterday afternoon on I-76. Hessler is in a coma with a major head injury and a collapsed lung. He was quarterback for the CU Buffs between 1995 and 97. With fire danger high in the Pike National Forest, the U.S. Forest Service has postponed some control burns that they had planned for the area this week. The Forest Service has targeted about 2,000 acres of fuels that need to be burned before winter sets in. The trial of D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad is underway. The prosecution has presented its opening statements, and the jury has just heard from Muhammad, who was granted permission to act as his own attorney. Muhammad has pleaded not guilty to the capital murder charges against him. Nathaniel Heatwall heads to federal court in Baltimore today. He's the 20-year-old college student from Maryland, accused of putting box cutters and other items in the lavatories of two Southwest Airlines jets. Following the discovery last week, the nation's 7,000 commercial airliners were searched. The ACA analysis has been conducted on the latest audio tape, purportedly of Osama bin Laden, and officials say they believe the tape is likely authentic. The tape aired on the Arab TV network Al Jazeera over the weekend. The voice on it urges Iraqis to wage a holy war against so-called American crusaders. In sports, the Broncos lost 28-20 to the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. They also lost backup quarterback Steve Berline for a few weeks because of a dislocated finger. The Denver Nuggets are in Portland tonight for a preseason game against the Trailblazers. The Nuggets are 3-2 for the preseason. Time is money. If your checking account isn't earning interest, you're wasting time. Stop by any key bank today for their free checking account with interest. Account early closure fee applies. The solution is key. Member FDIC. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1240.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
451-6432. KNRC News Time is 1241. Time to check with Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Diamond Shamrock Corner Stores and Pringles. I-25 at Alameda, we got a wreck. Not sure exactly what direction I-25. Watch for delays through there, though, either direction. Spear and Stout, we got an injury accident. Vasquez on the ramp to I-70. Watch for that particular problem. And someone dumped a load of marbles. Yes, a truckload of marbles are on the highway southbound I-25 at Yale. That's going to be a bit of a problem to clean up there. Pringles reminds you that once you pop, the fun won't stop at Diamond Shamrock Corner Stores. Large cans of Pringles are $1.29 or two for $2. Pop into Diamond Shamrock and let the Pringles pop out. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Broke a record high of 86 degrees yesterday, nearing the record high today with sunshine and a high of 81. Into tonight, mostly clear, 46, and we really do not have a lot to talk about the next few days. Just some sunshine on Tuesday, a high of 81, mostly sunny Wednesday, 82. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 75 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1242. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Oh, Larry, what a wonderful spot for our picnic.
Isn't it? The weather's just right.
Did someone say picnic? Hey, you're stepping on the goat cheese. Oops, so sorry. But I heard someone say picnic. And as the anniversary fairy for the Denver Center Theater Company, I must respond to emergency calls for tickets to picnic. So are you going?
Going? We're having the picnic now.
Mmm, yummy sandwiches. But I meant the play picnic.
We're just trying to enjoy.
Oh, wine.
Did you want something?
Yes. I want you to picture a small town in Kansas. A single mom and her two teenage daughters get ready for the big Labor Day picnic. And then a hunky drifter blows into town, and the sexual tension ignites. But if you'd rather just eat goat cheese...
Oh, no, no, we'll go see Picnic.
My work here is done.
Our 25th season is our best yet. Come celebrate at the Denver Center Theater Company with tickets to Picnic, opening October 16th. Call 303-893-4100.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's average is sticking pretty close to opening marks this hour, but they're back on the plus side. Right now, the Dow is up 11. The S&P 500 is gaining a fraction. The NASDAQ is up 6 points. On this busy earnings reporting day, traders have a new report to chew on this hour. The William Wrigley Company says we bought more of its myriad of chewing gum offerings last quarter. That and the weak dollar helped the bottom line. Wrigley's earnings matching Wall Street forecast. The stock is down, the price of a pack in some places, 29 cents. Stock in TiVo is falling 7.5%. Analysts say an article in the New York Times is dragging down shares. The article profiles digital video recording competition from the cable industry. An analyst with Yankee Group, quoted in the article, predicts this is the last Christmas for the standalone TiVo box. Once again, the Dow is up 10 points. The NASDAQ is up 6. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone, 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1244 on the Monday edition, of Enid Live. I have an apple in my throat, I think. A frog, but if you kiss him in the right place, I'm sure he'll turn into a prince. We're going to be joined later by Linda Babcock. She's a professor, and she has written a book called Women Don't Ask, The Negotiation and the Gender Divide. And I think she thought about writing the book when she realized that the male, a lot of guys were teaching graduate classes, and any women were involved were only assistants. They weren't teaching classes, and when she investigated further, she realized that the women simply didn't ask, and the men did. So it gives rise to this book, and I'm very interested to talk to her. Tomorrow, Judy Collins live with us in studio. Wednesday, President Clinton's biographer, David Marinus, will be joining us. He's a Washington Post editor, and he has written a new book called They Marched Into Sunlight, War and Peace, Vietnam and America, October 1967. Also, he's going to be part of a BookBeat luncheon at the Press Club on that Wednesday, I believe, Thursday, the wonderful choreographer Twyla Tharp, who's written all about creativity. And next week, Annie Garrels, who is reports for NPR, and friends of hers, Jake and Suzanne Page, who are former editors of the National Geographic. I had them on because they've written a number of books about Native Americans, and they're beautiful photography books, and, you know, beautiful photography in their books and so on. And they're good friends with Anne Garrels. And in the beginning of the fighting in Baghdad, they were very worried about her because apparently she couldn't get enough food. She was just isolated. I mean, she was in a very, very tough situation, and nobody could help her, and everybody was hoping that she would come out of it okay. She did, and she's written a book about it called Naked in Baghdad. So that's next week. So we have some wonderful guests coming up. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a discussion from Nicholas Davies about Princess Diana, these latest allegations that she knew about a year in advance, or she had written a letter, and the letter surfaced courtesy via her former butler, Paul Burrell. The letter alleges that people were plotting against her, they were going to try and kill her, and that they were going to do it via an auto accident. She names Prince Philip, but of course that's been redacted in the English serialization of this book because the libel laws are so tough. Nicholas Davies says that Prince Philip is the sovereign's contact to military intelligence. He believes, and he says he has evidence for, and has written about it, that English intelligence set up her death in concert with French intelligence, that the driver of the vehicle was on the payroll of French intelligence, the driver of the limousine, Henri Paul, and that the American intelligence services were on notice. They knew in advance that it was going to happen. And the reason that he says it happened this way is that she was very powerful. She single-handedly had gotten rid of the use of landmines and in most countries, and she was scheduled to be the patron of a particular trust that meant that she would appear in refugee camps in Palestine at a time when the United States was trying to hammer out a Middle East peace agreement. And she was also very troublesome to the royal family. So Nicholas Davies alleging that what Paul Burrell, he's concurring with what Paul Burrell's book alleges, and that is that Diana knew in advance. And he adds one other twist to it. That is that she told a friend of hers that she felt nauseous anytime she was around Prince Philip because she thought he was trying to put the moves on her. So just a little, you know, incest, a game the whole family can play. I don't know. Paul Childs, that case is, you know, getting more and more momentum. We talked about it last week as the news came in that there would be no criminal charges against the police officer involved in the shooting of Paul Childs, you know, the developmentally disabled 15-year-old. The family had very often in the past, called the police for help when the kid got a little bit more than they could handle. And this time he picked up a knife and they called the police with some help in subduing the child. And only a few seconds elapsed between the time that the police officer got there and the shooting, which resulted in Paul Child's death. The police officer has been exonerated of any criminal wrongdoing here. I guess the bar is so low you could calypso under it. You could probably, it's a pretty low bar. So I guess nobody expected that there would be criminal charges filed. But the Denver Police Department has to start doing things differently. And I can imagine the family's outrage. In his Saturday column in the Rocky, Mike Litwin says that the mayor was too careful in Paul Child's tragedy. When District Attorney Bill Ritter announced that there would be no charges brought against the cop who shot and killed the 15-year-old Childs, it was hardly a surprise. But he thinks that the mayor should have had more to say, and you know what? I agree with him. The mayor said, "What's so sad about this is I'm not sure what the police could have done differently, to be honest with you." Well, you know what? I think there are a lot of things that the police could have done differently. They don't seem to be trained in doing anything but protecting themselves. Now, granted, being a police officer has to be very tough work. You never know from moment to moment if you're going to last out the shift and come home alive to your family if you have one. But what I have noticed here in Denver is something that startles me. I'm not the closest observer of police departments, but I can tell you that on very nothing little incidents, they have a phalanx of a half a dozen squad cars that converge. And I rode with the cops on East Colfax, busting hookers one night and busting Johns another night. And every time they made a bust, and I want to tell you, these are some of the most pathetic people you'll ever encounter, the people who are being busted. A phalanx of unmarked cars would descend on the bust. I mean, not just three or four, but at least a half a dozen, it seemed to me. I should have counted them. So it tells me that they're kind of nervous, these cops. And so I extrapolate from that when you have a situation where you have a developmentally disabled kid, it's easier to shoot first because you're scared that something could happen and ask questions later. And I think that's been business as usual at the Denver Police Department. I think that's what it looks like to me. And I think that the mayor should have come out with a stronger statement. I think that there needs to be training. I think this is a political hot potato. That's what I think. What do you think? 303-382-1150. And, of course, there's going to be a civil suit, and Johnny Cochran is the attorney involved here. But when Mayor Hickenlooper says, "What's so sad about this is I'm not sure what the police could have done differently," to be honest with you, there were tasers. The police could have backed off. It was only like, 90-some seconds or something that elapsed between the time the police arrived and the time the kid was shot. And don't forget, this police officer threatened his mother-in-law the day before. She called the police. She called his own department to report him. She lives in another state. But he threatened her, so clearly he was on the edge, if not over it. And the other thing, and Jim Spencer here in the Post is reporting, the transcript, did you see the transcript? It's written in blackface. Apparently it's written ebonically. I mean, and he starts his column. "Let me ask you something. Do you think the Denver Police Department policy of transcribing police and interviews in black dialect is racially insensitive, or am I just being hysterical?" So this is apparently the way the transcript reads. "Let me ask you something. The police." And he goes on to say, "Anyone who reads transcripts of interviews in the police killing of a 15-year-old mentally retarded black child gets a chance to make up his or her mind. Anybody can read those transcripts and watch the videos on which they're based now that the district attorney, Bill Ritter, has decided not to charge police officer James Turney in the shooting of Paul Childs. What readers may find shock or confuse. Police say they try to transcribe the words in interviews exactly as they are pronounced by the person being questioned." Well, if they're talking to a New Yorker, do they say New York? Do they say talk? Do they say that? If they're interviewing a Southerner, do they say, honey, darling? Do they drop the G's on the transcript? But when they're doing, I don't know. I haven't seen them, but I'm only curious because this sounds to me like a transcript in blackface. I'm shocked, too. 303-382-1150. You may wish to comment. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
In depth and in Denver, AM 1150 KNRC.
There are a few reasons to wish summer were still here. One, because it's summer, and two, because winter just beats up your home. The snow comes, then the freeze, then ice expands in the cracks in the walls. This is Craig Dobbs, and welcome to the freeze-thaw cycle that's just a normal part of winter in Colorado. But damage from the cycle is normal, too, which is why you want to call Ironclad Painting. Using Benjamin Moore Premium Paints, they can stop the damage before it starts. They do large and small home remodeling and handyman jobs, too. For paint, as I say, they use premium paint from Benjamin Moore. And for peace of mind, they guarantee everything for 5 whole years, some materials for life. But can you trust them? Well, Ironclad is a family-owned business and has been for more than 20 years. They'll always be there for you. So give them a call at 303-347-8099. Please tell them Greg Dobbs sent you. 347-8099. Ironclad Painting, home of Benjamin Moore Premium Paints and the Ironclad Guarantee.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at Toyota.com/owners.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Experience the timeless tale of ambition, manipulation, murder, and retribution. William Shakespeare's Macbeth, produced by the Shadow Theater Company, plays Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays until November 1st at the Mizell Center for the Arts and Culture, located at 350 Dahlia Street in Denver. Produced in the traditional manner with period costumes and dialogue, the diverse and multicultural cast demonstrates Shadow's commitment to explore our common heritage. For reservations, call 303-837-9355.
Talk to Dominic and Bill.
So I hired his housekeeper, and she came over to look at the house today, and she was just great. She's going to come every Tuesday, but she's starting tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
To help me out. And she seems really, really nice. This is my problem. I can't say her name.
What?
She's coming tomorrow. Now, she told me her name was Blanca before she left, but you know
Blanca.
Me. Now I will never remember that name.
No, you never will.
No. Just I'll be looking at her and going, Brittany.
No, think of Blanca.
Dominic and Bill, weeknights from 6 to 9 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kellett. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:56 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about Paul Childs at the moment, and I got an email from one of you saying that he never heard of a company where you can accumulate sick leave, but that it happens often in government. I don't think it should. These are our tax dollars. What do you think? 303-382-1150. And this business about the Paul Childs transcript written in blackface, essentially. What's that about? Lynn on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, this is Lynn.
Hi, Lynn. Welcome.
I wanted to comment on the Paul Childs shooting. It's my opinion that the only way that things will change in the Denver Police Department and the only way they'll get training or start mitigating some of their bad tactics is when the civil suits start hitting them where it hurts. When they have to start paying out a lot of money for damages, you bet that they will start paying attention to their tactics. And I'm afraid that's the only way it's going to happen.
Well, and I think with Johnny Cochran on board, it looks like, you know, he's always the 800-pound gorilla.
He's going to get some damages, you can believe it.
Yeah, I'm sure
so
he is. He's a good lawyer, and he's got a lot of history going after these police abuse cases.
Well, that's right.
That's how he got involved in the O.J. Case. He's made a career with of this. So that he's taken on this case, I think, should put the police department on notice.
Yeah, but see, it's really sad that that's the only way they're going to respond is money.
Why didn't the mayor say more, other than he reappointed Jerry Whitman? Why didn't he say more about this? Because it wouldn't have cost him anything. He could have said, look, you know what, I'm going to call for more sensitivity training, because over the weekend you had a situation where the family is insisting that a guy didn't wield a pickaxe, and the police say that he did, and they shot him dead.
I don't think he wants to get on the bad side of the police department. Who does? Just like what's going on in this country. You don't want to speak out. You don't want to say anything, because they'll get you. That's
well,
my opinion.
Well, all right, Lynn, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. We're talking about the Paul Childs incident. Adam, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, it's a nice thought, Enid, but where does that woman think this police department money is coming from? It's not just falling out of the sky, and they don't care where it comes from.
In other words, the money is there, they're going to do the settlements, and it's going to change nothing? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Well, you could be right about it, but I'm surprised in the wake of this whole spate of shootings, one in the Aurora situation where there was a 29-year-old woman, bipolar, she wasn't on her meds, she had the candlestick, here's a somebody waving a pickaxe over the weekend, and there are differences in whether or not he was waving a pickaxe, so there are differences in that story, and then you had the Paul Childs business. I mean, you would think that one of the things the police department would do would start to institute some kind of training for police officers when they're called into these kinds of situations.
Well, you would hope so, and they're doing that with the tasers and alternate weapons, I think they're calling them. But you know, it's hard when you're the one who's there on the line. You've got to make that decision pretty quick.
All right, Adam, I thank you for the call. We're just about out of time, excuse me, in this hour, but two more hours of Enid coming up right here on the Monday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 3 o'clock. I've got all kinds of juicy stuff. Barbara Bush has a new book out. This is a woman who pulls no punches. You know what? Everyone thought she was so nice and grandmotherly. Uh-oh, wait till you hear the real Barbara Bush.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 76 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Taco Bell. Leaders of Denver's black community have called for a peaceful protest this afternoon. It's tied to the July shooting death of a black teenager by a Denver police officer and DA Bill Ritter's opting not to file charges against that officer. The protest is scheduled to begin at Civic Center Park at 4:30 this afternoon. It's expected to finish at DPD headquarters, where Detective Teresa Garcia says the department has no problem with protesters, as long as they're peaceful.
But we certainly will not tolerate or condone any civil disobedience or criminal acts, anything that certainly will disrupt the function of the police department in trying to protect the city of Denver.
Black leaders are upset over the number of officer-involved shootings in Denver, which this weekend rose to 8. When the mercury hit 86 degrees at DIA yesterday, that set a record. It's part of the fifth hottest October since folks have been keeping track some 123 years ago, and we can expect more of the same. Forecaster Kyle Friedin of the National Weather Service.
We have a large ridge of high pressure that's been holding over the western and central United States pretty much for the last 3 weeks. It's been cool in the northeast, but Colorado and the Rocky Mountain region have been well above normal due to that high-pressure ridge that's been hard to move.
Ferdinand says while we could get some precipitation this coming weekend, it should be unseasonably hot and dry for the next few days. Those prescribed burns set for this week in and around the Pike National Forest will have to wait. Terry McCann of the U.S. Forest Service tells us more.
While we are expecting or anticipating doing some prescribed burning starting this week, and going through the month of October, given the right conditions, the conditions are just too dry for us to do that.
McCann says the Forest Service wants to burn about 2,000 acres of fuels before the winter months. In the meantime, he says fire danger is high in the areas targeted for the control burns, so much so that this morning a tiny unplanned fire broke out 13 miles southwest of Sedalia. When that region is set ablaze by Forest Service personnel, smoke should be visible between Denver and Castle Rock. Two other burns are scheduled for the coming weeks near Lake George and Bailey. L.A. Lakers star Kobe Bryant could soon find out if he'll have to stand trial on sexual assault charges. Eagle County Judge Fred Gannett says that he would hand down his decision today if there is sufficient evidence to proceed to trial. Brian is accused of raping a 19-year-old hotel worker in late June. Accused D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad has just completed his opening statement in his capital murder trial in which he declared his innocence. Correspondent Kathy Culpepper was in the courtroom when Muhammad began his statement.
John Muhammad opened his statement with good evening to the jurors. Of course, it's afternoon here in Virginia Beach. He went on a rambling tirade about we had to look for the truth and nothing but the truth in this case. And he alluded that the lawyers and everyone involved in the prosecution were lying about him and what he had done. And he said that the truth will come out during this trial. He compared the case to an incident involving his daughter and taking some chocolate cookies. Then he went on to compare the case to the fact that he was a clean glass and the prosecution was presenting a dirty glass. It was up to the jurors to figure out who was the clean glass and who was the dirty glass.
Muhammad also claimed that, quote, some people are lying, but they don't know they're lying, naming two kinds of liars, wicked liars and insane liars. With urging from the judge to make a statement, Muhammad closed by saying that, quote, he and his son had nothing to do with these crimes, and it's important to know what happened. Witnesses find out, but do they know what happened? The statement about his son was in reference to alleged accomplice Lee Boyd Malvo, who has been charged in the shooting death of an FBI analyst in Virginia. Muhammad is on trial for the shooting death of a Maryland man at a Virginia gas station. Charges could be waiting for a 20-year-old college student from Maryland when he appears in federal court in Baltimore later today. Nathaniel Heatwell is accused of putting box cutters and other suspicious items on two Southwest Airlines jets. Officials say notes were also attached to the items when they were found last week that point out weaknesses in airport security. Israel has launched three separate air attacks in Gaza City within a five-hour stretch. At least three people, including members of the militant group Hamas, were killed as a result. In sports, Broncos backup quarterback Steve Beuerlein will be out for a couple of weeks after dislocating a finger on his throwing hand during yesterday's 28-20 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. Beuerlein was filling in for Jake Plummer, who's out with a broken foot. The Denver Nuggets have a preseason game against the Trailblazers tonight in Portland. Nuggets have won three of their first five preseason games, and the Colorado Avalanche host the Boston Bruins at the Pepsi Center tomorrow night. Avs lost 6-3 to the Edmonton Oilers over the weekend. They're now 2-2 for the season. Taco Bell serves up quality ingredients like the grilled all-white meat chicken in the freshly prepared zesty chicken bowl, available at participating locations. When you want quality, think outside the bun. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Denver Water. Got a bit of a problem on southbound Spirit Stout due to an injury accident. Should be just about out of there. Still trying to clean up all those marbles that fell off a truck southbound I-25 at Yale. Fixing a leak can save 500 gallons of water a month. For more water-saving tips, visit denverwater.org. Together we can make a difference. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Well, the topic of conversation around the water cooler the next few days is probably going to be about the heat. It's going to be awfully warm today, a near record high with sunshine 81. Tonight, mostly clear, 46 degrees, and we've got some sunshine again on Tuesday up to 81. The average high is 63, and we should top out at 82 on Wednesday under a mostly sunny sky. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 76 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. We're going to be joined later in the broadcast by Linda Babcock. She's written a book about women don't ask, negotiation and the gender divide. She doesn't think that women know how to negotiate or that they fear it or that they don't engage in it. Maybe they do it in a different way, but I'm interested to talk to her about that because I think negotiation is something that it's a wonderful skill to have in life in every realm that you can imagine. And I want to talk to you about the ruling expected on the Kobe Bryant case today, Mother Teresa being beatified, and they're selling every kind of Mother Teresa tchotchke you can imagine, a statue, which you can buy for $209.30. You can get the rosary in a box for $3.50. You can get a videotape for $27.90. You can get the Mother Teresa wall plaque for $29, a double frame for $2.60, and a single frame for $2.10. And these are just a partial list of the Mother Teresa items. They're on sale, not here, but in various places. What they should have is the Mother Teresa nightlight to guide you through those dark, the darkest time before the dawn, but someone will think of that. I want to talk to you about the Kobe Bryant incident, which is that we are expecting today information on whether or not he's going to be bound over for trial. My vote is that he probably will be. And the LA Times is reporting on the paper in Aspen. The Aspen newspaper has just made a decision. The Aspen Daily News is just not going to cover Kobe anymore. It's tired of it. Fed up with the relentless, increasingly lurid media coverage of the Kobe Bryant sexual assault case playing out 75 miles away. The Aspen Daily News recently told the world, or at least its 15,000 readers, enough is enough. No more stories of sex over chairs, legal gamesmanship, or alleged promiscuity. They're just not going to cover it. We are removing ourselves from the pack, declared Rick Carroll, who's the editor of the paper, which sits above a consignment shop in Aspen. The story just does not warrant the coverage it's getting. It's just gossip. This small act of journalistic independence, orchestrated by an even smaller staff, was trumpeted in a front-page editorial. It triggered an immediate avalanche of controversy. So the LA Times, by the way, many hundreds of people called in to cancel their subscription because the LA Times reported about a week before the California recall election that Arnold was a serial groper. And there were a lot of gropees that they had uncovered in the course of the reporting, and a lot of people got very angry about it and wanted to kill the messenger. The next best thing is cancel your subscription to the LA Times. The LA Times is reporting that the Aspen Daily News has decided no more Kobe coverage. Maybe they've made the wise choice. Frankly, I think there's way too much of it. 303-382-1150. We're also talking about the transcripts of the Paul Child shooting. They are in Ebonics. Larry on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. I just wanted to take some time to maybe disagree with you a little bit. I think that transcribing it in that fashion provides a more accurate transcription as well, so nothing can come back or anybody can disagree and say they didn't say something when in fact they did. I think it has less to do with accents. Obviously, if somebody says New York, you're going to write it down as New York. It's a pronunciation.
Wait a minute. Where are you gaining anything if the transcript said, I asked him something instead of I asked him something? Where have you gained an iota of a greater truth other than to, if you're writing fiction, you would do it that way because it adds another dimension. But in terms of simply the facts, where do the facts change?
Well, you're looking at language that was created by subculture, Ebonics, and that's a subculture where people are requiring or wanting teachers to teach a certain aspect of society in that language. It's deemed a different language. So transcribing it as that is doing just that, doing it as a different language.
It's not a different language. It's not a different language at all. And a New York accent, how does it add to the factual information load, for example, to say, I'm from New York. I talked to somebody, and so on. Why wouldn't they do it? If you're going to do it for one, you've got to do it for all. And if you do use the Ebonic dialect, what does it add in terms of the facts?
Because Ebonic, well, it adds to the facts is there's a number of words that are used differently. In New York, you may be saying a word in a different
if they
accent.
Use a word differently, talking, you can do that. Talking. You can do that within a regular, standard transcript. If they're using some kind of a word that, you know, like fat, P-H-A-T, or something like that, I'm no expert on it, they certainly can inject that into the transcript. But of what value is it to write ax instead of ask? How have you illuminated the facts that way?
Well, as far as that specific example, you're not illuminating the facts.
Well, and they write the other thing they write is police instead of police. We know what they're talking about, whether you pronounce it police or police. So why do it in the dialect?
Well, those are the two examples he used in the article. But it doesn't get into it. He also said in the article that they're doing it for everybody who speaks like that, regardless of race.
Are they doing it for New Yorkers? Are they doing it for Southerners?
There wouldn't be very many New Yorkers, but I bet you they would if they did.
I don't think so. My guess is that they do not. I'm guessing that they don't, that they do standard English for New Yorkers. And I'm guessing that if they were interviewing a Southerner, they would probably do standard English. But when they get into the realm of Hispanics, and when they get into the realm of blacks, and when they get into the realm of perhaps first-generation non-English speaking, that's when they do it. And I don't know. That paints a picture to me, Larry. That's what I would say, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. They're doing it for blacks, if they're doing it for Hispanics, if they're doing it for first-generation immigrants from various countries, and they're doing it in dialect, and they're not doing it for New Yorkers, and they're not doing it for Southerners, and maybe for Texans. Do they do it for Texans? 303-382-1150. So what is the picture that's being painted here? And I, too, unless somebody's got a, you know, if there's something that it adds factually, if there's the usage of a word, or if a word is used idiosyncratically in a certain dialect, yes, that would be important. But of what value is police or ax? As in, I ax you a question. I don't get why that would be relevant in a police transcript or what that adds to the factual load. If you listen to the tape, somebody from the police said, what you hear is what gets printed. If that's what was said, that's what was said. But I'll bet you they don't say New York. I'll bet you they don't, you know, I bet you that they don't use any of the, you know, the dialects, the regional dialects in this country, say from Boston or from Massachusetts or from New England. You see what I'm saying? Bobby in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Bobby. Welcome.
Oh, hello. Yeah, you know, when George Bush mangles the English language, the newspapers, New York Times, Washington Post, all of those papers clean up his language so that he doesn't get embarrassed.
Uh-oh, he better not wind up on a police transcript in Denver. But don't misunderstimate him, because that's the word he used. Thank you, Bobby. 303-382-1150. Okay, Kobe Bryant, a ruling is expected today as whether or not the case is going to go, is he's going to be bound over for trial. Most analysts are predicting that Kobe Bryant is, and the Aspen Daily News has decided it doesn't want to cover the Kobe Bryant case. It's had enough. There's been too much about it. 303-382-1150. One of the issues that's stirred a lot of controversy is under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, which I think should be taken out immediately. Goodbye. The Supreme Court's going to consider it. And Judge Scalia has recused himself. Well, some students in Grand Junction, in their student newspaper, which depicted two Grand Junction High School students giving the Pledge of Allegiance with a Nazi-style salute because of you have to say it and because it's the under God part, has stirred a lot of controversy, sparked a district-wide review of policies governing student newspapers. Whenever something occurs, we go back and review all the circumstances. Some of the teachers wouldn't allow the newspaper to be distributed. They tossed it out. But you know what? If you want to, I mean, where are your free speech rights? Where are your First Amendment rights, even if you're a student? If you want to do this Nazi salute is in regard to having to say the pledge being mandated in schools, and furthermore having to have the under God line in the pledge, why not? I think it makes a statement. It's good graphic. It's a good graphic. It's a powerful graphic, and everybody got bent out of shape over it. It became very controversial. What do you think? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Also, We've heard a lot about how Episcopalians, some of them are going to drop off, try to disengage themselves from the church if the church goes forward with the gay Episcopal bishop elect. There is a gay Episcopal bishop. He's the first openly gay bishop elect. A lot of hardline conservative Episcopalians are very anti the fact that there could be an actual formal gay bishop, openly gay bishop in the Episcopalian church. Well, there's a new study out. Sexual identity, which many people, a lot of fundamentalists, a lot of conservatives believe that sexual identity is a lifestyle choice. Not according to the new research. According to the new research, sexual identity is wired into the genes, which discounts the idea that homosexuality and transgender sexuality are a choice. These are researchers at UCLA School of Medicine. Our findings, they said, may help answer an important question. Why do we feel male or female? Since the 1970s, scientists have believed that estrogen and testosterone were wholly responsible for sexually organizing the brain. Recent evidence, however, indicates that the hormones cannot explain everything about the sexual differences between male and female brains. In other words, if it's not a lifestyle choice, if this is what's hardwired into your genetics, now maybe your parent, your mom ate the wrong thing during her pregnancy or the right thing, depending on your point of view. Maybe she was too busy or not busy enough. Maybe she should have played more classical music. Who knows what the reasons are, but it is hardwired into your genetics what your sexuality is going to be. And if it's not a lifestyle choice, and if God loves everybody, even sinners, then how can people in the Episcopalian church, how can Episcopals get bent out of shape about the first openly gay Episcopal bishop? How can Jerry Falwell get bent out of shape about homosexuals, which he believes to be the reason for 9/11. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Johnny calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Johnny.
Hi, Johnny. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, look here. I was just thinking a lot of people might be overlooking these particular people that's, that more or less went undercover. And what I'm speaking on is the Ku Klux Klan. I'm speaking because a lot of them guys seem like they didn't trade it in white sheets and robes.
Well, we're not talking about the KKK. What are you talking
about? I know we ain't. We're talking about these particular people that's sitting up here doing all this unnecessary killing of minorities. And then you got somebody like the DA that hasn't prosecuted any of them in 70 cases. That's got to tell you there's an underground organization going on in Colorado with the police force.
Well, I have a list here of just recent ones. So there are what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, just 6, 7 from October 11th, October 3, July 5, 18, 15. These are Denver police shootings in 2003.
Right.
So, no, I mean, I think that the mayor should have had stronger words, and I think they ought to be doing more in the Denver Police Department to be sure that this doesn't happen again.
But that's not their concern. They have a hidden agenda, in my opinion. And these guys like that one, the one that shot that child's kid, and then the mother-in-law called and told the police about the threat that he made to her. If I was to make a threat to anybody, whether they saw me in the area or not, they will have a warrant out for me.
I think you're probably right, Johnny. And I think also, I don't know about an underground KKK effort. I don't think it's like that. I think anything that has to do with race, the officers start getting more nervous, more frightened. They shoot first, they ask questions later, and nobody is calling them on it. And I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Awarded Colorado's best newscast and best general reporting by the Associated Press. AM 1150 KNRC.
Chamois? Sponges? Upholstery cleaner? Car cover, chrome polish, car wax, electric bumper.
You'll do just about anything to protect your car. No one understands that better than your State Farm agent. That's why we insure more cars than anyone else.
We live where you live, where a good
friend really cares. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Providing insurance and financial services.
Brace yourself for an all-new original series from the Weather Channel, Storm Stories.
I was just thinking, oh my God, we're all going to die.
Get a first-hand account from people who witness nature at its deadliest.
When I heard that sound, I thought we were in big trouble.
This looked like the scene out of a movie.
After the fury, after the power, after the storm, there's always a story. Storm Stories, weeknights at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, only on the Weather Channel.
AM 1150 KNRC and Radio Disney present Boo Bash at Heritage Square on Saturday, October 25th from noon to 3 p.m. Bring out your family in costume to trick or treat throughout the square. This free event includes live entertainment from Radio Disney's Commotion Band and lots of candy prizes and games. You'll have a hauntingly good time at the Boo Bash at Heritage Square Saturday, October 25th from noon to 3 p.m. For more information, go to knrcradio.com and click on events.
Dominic Brascia.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
123 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. There's going to be a demonstration. I think it starts at about 4:30. We're going to bring you the information. This is on the Paul Child shooting. I think that Mayor Hickenlooper could have said more about it than he did. And so does Mike Litwin in the Rocky Mountain News. I think he could have talked about how they're going to make some changes in the Denver Police Department. What he did in the face of the Paul Child shooting was to reappoint Jerry Whitman as head of the Denver Police Department. Okay, that's fine. I know he's got a good reputation. A lot of people like him. But this Paul Child's tragedy is really a tragedy, and nothing has changed. I mean, there was a shooting that seems that, you know, there are two sides of that shooting from Saturday. This is a police officer who made a threat to his mother-in-law the day before the shooting. I mean, there was, and the Denver Police Department, to create better public relations, could have said, you know what, we have made some mistakes. What we're going to do is we're going to have more training of officers for exactly this kind of situation, because increasingly officers are called to mitigate these kinds of situations. And then in Jim Spencer's column in the Denver Post, I was amazed to find out that the transcript is written in Ebonics, where it says police and I'm going to ax you. And I don't know what that adds to the factual content of the proceedings. And do they do that with New Yorkers? Do they say New York? Hal, call on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. This may be a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I've noticed that when you have an unruly animal in your yard and you call animal control, they come out and they tranquilize the animal and relocate it. So if you have an unruly family member, it might be wise to call animal control and have them remove the child.
And hit him with a tranquilizing dart.
Yeah, hit him with a child, throw a net over him, and move him out, you know. And, or maybe, more specifically, have animal control train the police force in how to deal with unruly people.
Well, there certainly has to be some kind of training, because more and more police are called for these kinds of situations. And you cannot just go around shooting people who are not on their meds. And I know it's a tough call, and I'm not there. It's a split-second decision that you're making. But some of these, in hindsight, sound so stupid and so wrong-headed that the Paul Child shooting should have happened only seconds after the officer arrived, that there were tasers there, and he could have backed away. The officer could have backed away. The kid had a knife. He wasn't lunging. He was just standing there stupefied from the descriptions that I have read. And I do not understand why the transcript is written in Ebonics. I don't get that.
Here's another question. I'm worried about this one. Is Denver an anomaly, the city of Denver an anomaly, or is this a national trend where we just allow the police to shoot the citizens?
Well, I'm going to tell you, in a place like San Francisco, this would have been a rage. I mean, there would have been tremendous protesting. There would have been the police called into question. It would have been examined in the newspapers. I mean, I don't think they would have let it go. So I'm surprised that it's been. I'm glad that it's been resolved nonviolently. But I don't see that the police department, from a public relations standpoint, even if they don't mean to make any changes at all, they should have been out there saying we're going to make some changes, we're going to have additional training. They should have made some kind of sympathetic sounds. And I really haven't heard that coming from the Denver Police Department, nor have I heard enough coming from Mayor Hickenlooper, who is beloved by the press. We all like him. He's a great guy, blah, blah. But he should have had more to say here. And all he said, at least if we can believe Saturday's Rocky, he says, what's so sad about this is I'm not sure what the police could have done differently, to be honest with you. Well, I think the police could have done plenty differently.
Yeah, like call animal control. They would have shown him how to do it.
Al, thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. There's going to be a march today to protest the decision not to charge a Denver police officer with the crime and the shooting of 15-year-old Paul Childs. The marchers are protesting Bill Ritter's decision not to charge a police officer, James Turney. Their protesters are expected to call for Turney's badge during a march at 4:30 p.m. from the Denver City and County Building to police headquarters. Denver Police Chief Jerry Whitman says the department does not plan to increase security for the protest. He has talked to the group to ensure that the protest stays peaceful. Well, of course we want a peaceful protest. Definitely, that's the case. And Turney, I'm sure, will be reassigned quietly. But do we need another high-priced clerk who is a former police officer? You can just hire a clerk for the fraction of the salary. 303-382-1150. Don on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi there.
Hi, Don.
How you doing?
Good.
Before I make my comment, I just want to make it clear. I don't side with people like Jerry Falwell or Pat Robinson. I find
Robertson.
Pat Robertson. Robertson.
Yeah, he's the guy, he's the minister who's not only praying for certain members of the Supreme Court to drop dead, but right. for a nuclear device to go off at the State Department. Now, what kind of a minister is that?
Oh, it's a scary individual. And the Christian right is a very scary political force in our country. But regarding the Episcopalian thing, I think there are a lot of caring, honest Christians who take the Bible for what it says. And I think... You know, the fact that we've made sexuality such a big issue within Christianity, it has caused the polarization we have today. I myself see homosexuality as I see adultery, see a lot of behaviors as sin, as a Christian view. And I don't know how we can present that in a way that doesn't...
Wait a minute, why is it a sin? If that's what you're hardwired to be, why is it a sin?
Well, you're accepting that scientific study, and I know there have been other studies that present that view. I believe, and I think the Bible's very clear on this, that it presents these types of behaviors as sin. And I think we're all...
Well, the Bible, you know, the Bible can be called a form of a nice form of fiction, too, if we're being a little bit sarcastic. The Bible is not a scientific document. But if we know scientifically, if this research is correct, and what your sexuality is hardwired into your genetics, then you don't really have much of a choice.
Well, see, you accept that, and a lot of what I'm telling you is a lot of caring, you know, people that go to church who happen to be liberals, Democrats, don't necessarily buy into that, Enid.
Not all Democrats are liberals, and not all liberals are Democrats.
I'm just presenting that sometimes we think it's the hardcore right that buys into a lot of this stuff, and I'm saying I think there are a lot of thoughtful, caring people who also accept biblical...
All right. Are you one of those, Don?
I think I am.
So are you an Episcopalian?
No, I'm not an Episcopalian. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. So you believe that that there's some sin involved here, but what about the let live and let live doctrine, and what about the God loves everybody, and it's going to be God's judgment?
I think so. I think that's where we do leave it, Enid. I think, you know, as church people, as people who are people of faith, we have to accept everyone in. I don't know that we make people ministers who are living a lifestyle that we believe is sinful, and if they accept a sinful lifestyle, I think we have to, you know, accept the person but not accept that lifestyle. But
Forget what the Bible says. Forget what the Bible says for the moment. What is sinful exactly about two people who love each other?
Well, you know, I can't forget the Bible in it, because to me that's where I get my understanding of what sin is. I mean, through the Word of God. That's how I understand what is appropriate.
Well,
all right, Don,
we're going to leave it there. Thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. What about this business of there is the potential of a gay bishop? He's the gay bishop elect. So there needs to be more in the process here. He's the first openly gay bishop. This is going to happen in the Episcopal Church. A lot of hardline Episcopalians are talking about seceding from the church or somehow changing. They don't like it that you have here the potential for a gay Bishop. And yet, if we can believe the studies coming in from UCLA, the medical school at UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles, sexual identity is hardwired by the genetics. So you don't really have a choice about it. Buzz in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Buzz.
Well, you know, I've been wanting to call you on so many things. I think I know something about this because I was going to be an Episcopal priest about 20 years ago. And this controversy has been going on for over 20 years. It's nothing new in the church. And, you know, you just made the comment, your previous caller, forget what the Bible says. And yet here you are making judgments on a church where the Bible, and I'm not a Christian anymore, at least they burn crosses in my lawn for things I believe. But that is their handbook. That is why they are who they are, whether they're getting it right or wrong, that's what they use. And for people to judge them...
I think they use it... I think, frankly, that people who are using the Bible tend to use it selectively.
Well, of course they do, but it's still the only thing they have, whether they're misinterpreting it or not, or however you want to run that. But it's very, very clear in the Bible, and not the Old Testament, but the New Testament, that for a man to lie with another man is an abomination to God. That's even a Buddhist tenet, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, all these liberals that think they know what they're doing and are Buddhists.
I don't know. There were a lot of gay Buddhists in San Francisco, including some of the higher ups. But let me ask you this.
If you're not a Christian, you're either Buddhist or New Age, or you're an atheist or an agnostic. But if you're on the spiritual side,
wait a minute. You could be Jewish and you could be Muslim. You don't have it quite right, Buzz. But
Tell me. Explain it to me how I don't have what right.
Well, you said if you're not a Christian, then you would only be a Buddhist or something else. But there are a lot of other religions around.
Well, there are several, but you know, predominantly that's what it's going to be.
Judaism doesn't count and Islam doesn't count.
Very, very many Jewish people are Buddhists. In fact, that's where the New Age Buddhist movement got its start in America. But
very, 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 very many, and the predominant number are not. So you know what? You need to come to this argument armed with more facts. I'm afraid. 303-382-1150. George calling from Lafayette. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC. George.
Yes, good afternoon, Enid.
Good afternoon, George.
I have a comment to make about this business of the Paul Child's killing, and this has to do with the transcription into Ebonics.
Yeah.
You say that it doesn't furnish any additional information.
Yeah.
I rather think it does.
How?
How?
Uh-huh.
It tells you exactly the attitude of the person doing the transcribing. I don't think anybody forced them to use Ebonics. I think there's a choice of the person doing the transcribing.
Well, and, I think that's a good point, actually.
And what that really means, if that is the attitude, the contents of the transcript may very well be suspect.
Oh, that's a good argument. That's a very good argument, George. Thank you very much for calling. That's excellent. I appreciate it. 303-382-1150. Here's what George is saying. Rather than reflecting on the person doing the speaking, it reflects on the person doing the transcribing. And if you're not an Ebonics speaker, are you going to get it right? Is another part of this equation. I don't know. 303-382-1150. Roy, very quickly. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Roy. Are you there? I think he's not there. Okay. Let's take a news break right now. More of your calls as we continue. I'm Enid Goldstein. You, lucky you, are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live right here on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 76 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by local REMAX offices. Denver police continue looking for the suspect in yesterday morning's abduction of a teenage girl. The suspect was seen driving a white four-door Honda with tinted windows and a scorpion decal near the rear window. The teenage girl was missing for about 8 hours before being found safe. She was not physically harmed. Denver's Civic Center Park is the location this afternoon of a rally and protest march. The protest is the result of last week's decision by the Denver DA not to file charges against DPD officer James Turney in connection with the shooting death of 15-year-old Paul Childs in July. The rally and march begin this afternoon at 4:30. John Hessler, who quarterbacked the CU Buffs between 1995 and 97, is hospitalized in critical condition following an accident on I-76 yesterday. Hessler is in a coma with a major head injury and a collapsed lung. The jury in the trial against D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad has heard opening statements in the case. Prosecutors said they would present evidence that links Muhammad to the sniper attacks that killed 10 people in the Washington, D.C. area last October. Muhammad was granted permission to represent himself and in a rambling speech accused prosecutors of lying about him. The CIA says it believes Osama bin Laden did record the audio tape that was broadcast over the weekend. The voice on the tape vowed continued suicide attacks against Americans at home and abroad. A man who shot at the United Nations a year ago to protest human rights abuses in North Korea was sentenced today. Steve Kim had pleaded guilty and was expecting a sentence of 30 to 37 months, but the judge said federal sentencing guidelines are unfair and sentenced Kim to 27 months in prison. In sports, the Denver Broncos are hurting after yesterday's 28-20 loss to the Minnesota Vikings and the loss of backup quarterback Steve Berline for a couple of weeks. He dislocated a finger on his throwing hand in the third quarter. More preseason action for the Denver Nuggets tonight as they take on the Trailblazers in Portland. The Nuggets are 3-2 so far during the preseason. When you're looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results, REMAX. There's a REMAX real estate office near you, so call them today. REMAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
This is Wally Frew of the Prue Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by KFC. Pretty quiet around the metro area right now. You will see some construction work that's going to be northbound I-25 between 8th and Colfax, I should say, on Spear. Watch for that. You'll also see some construction on the Federal right around Colfax. Right now, KFC, get three delicious crispy strips, smashed potatoes with gravy, and a biscuit for just $2.99. That's right, three crispy strips aside and a biscuit, just $2.99. Now at KFC, I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Broke the record high yesterday. Today will come close again with sunshine and a high of 81. Into tonight, mostly clear, down to 46 with sunshine returning on Tuesday along with those warm temperatures, 81 for the high, all the way up to 82 on Wednesday under a mostly sunny sky. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 76 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
You can lose all the weight you want with the right weight loss plan. And now the plan is available to you without a prescription. Introducing All-Natural UltraCarb, the only total weight loss system guaranteed to melt away the pounds by using your body's natural carb-blocking, fat-burning mechanism. UltraCarb is a two-step system that starts by blocking the carbs in many of the foods you love, like pasta, pizza, and bread. Next, UltraCarb goes to work burning fats contained in everyday foods, like cheeses and the oils contained in just about everything. Your body can then go to work on the fat it's been storing, allowing you to lose 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes in a month. You can lose up to 20 pounds in 4 weeks. Best of all, UltraCarb is guaranteed to work or your money back. Call right now and get a free month of UltraCarb with your order.
Call now for your 60-day risk-free trial of UltraCarb. 1-800-451-6432. Lose up to 3 pant sizes in the next month. 1-800-451-6432. It's guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC Market Watch.
It appears we might have enough natural gas available this winter to avoid a big jump in prices after all. Analysts say recent storage increases suggest we will reach the level considered necessary to meet normal winter demand, and natural gas futures today fell about 5%. Crude oil futures also lower, down 1% on concerns that Iran may consider withdrawing from the OPEC cartel. Analysts say that could lead to an OPEC production hike. Watching Wall Street markets in the plus column. Inside the final hour of trading, Dow Industrials up 28 points. NASDAQ is up 6. The S&P 500 adding 2 points. Not a big rally, but S.G. Cowan's head of listed trading, Todd Leone, says that doesn't mean gains are over for the year.
I think you have to kind of be a little bit leery because we've had such a tremendous run. I'd like to see us come back a little bit before I step into the market. I'm kind of flat right in here. But I think the market could have another leg up. You know, money's coming in, and the big thing is money supply. And as long as the money keeps coming into the market, we're going to keep moving higher.
I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
142 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. We're going to be joined later in the broadcast by Linda Babcock. Women don't ask why it's hard for women to negotiate. So if you have had a hard time negotiating, and you know what, a great place to learn how to negotiate is at the flea market. It's a very wonderful place to learn how to do something in a fairly, in an environment that it doesn't matter so much if you win or you lose. We're also talking about the new research coming from UCLA Medical School that tells us that being gay is hardwired into your genetics. It's not a lifestyle choice. So it would have implications for this new Episcopalian bishop-elect who is first openly gay man to so occupy that post. And the Paul Childs protest starts at 4:30 today. I think that the transcripts transcribed ebonically, I don't know what to make of that exactly. I think that's very odd. Those box cutters that they found, they've got a student in custody here who they think might be the person, but I don't know if they know for sure. But it's a college student who the FBI believes hid box cutters and other banned items aboard two airplanes, trying to make a point about airplane security. Those box cutters were there for 5 weeks on the plane before anybody found them. A college student told federal authorities he placed box cutters and other banned items aboard two Southwest Airlines planes nearly 5 weeks before they were actually found. The affidavit obtained by the Associated Press said that Nathaniel Heatwell, who's 20 years old, told agents that he went through normal security procedures at airports in Baltimore and Raleigh-Durham and was able to carry the forbidden items onto the plane. Once aboard, he hid the items in a compartment in the rear lavatories of two planes. He did this to make a point, and you know what? They're going to make an example out of him, and they are going to throw the book at him, and he could be looking at, I don't know, something like 10 years in prison. Now, I'm against that idea. I think that's so wrong. I think he's doing us a favor by trying to point this out. A college student who the FBI believes hid the box cutters will face federal charges, and they're going to really hit him hard. What do you think about that? I think that is so wrong. 303-382-1150. I think they missed the point entirely, but they don't like being shown up. If you go through normal procedures, the authorities pay no attention to you. But he made a point by getting these box cutters on board and then hiding them, and that's the end of that. That's it. He goes to the pokey if they have their way. 303-382-1150. Hal, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Hal.
Hey, I just wanted to make the Episcopal Church.
Yes.
They're worried about a gay bishop, and the church was founded on murder and, lies and everything by Henry VIII. That's just the Episcopal Church is the American branch of the Anglican Church.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it started was because Henry VIII couldn't get an annulment from his first wife because he couldn't get an heir, and so he murdered her. And how many women did he murder? Along the way, what was there, 8 wives of Henry VIII?
But I think the Episcopal Church is in a different position. They're in a different place now.
No, they're not. They're the American branch of the Anglican Church. They're all ruled by the Archbishop of Canterbury. But they're not like the Catholic Church because they all have their own dioceses that are controlled by local control instead of the Archbishop of Canterbury.
All right, so then what's your point about an openly gay bishop?
I don't understand what the problem is with that, why those people are concerned about that, when their history of their church is nothing but, it was founded on murder.
Well, Well, Hal, we're going to leave it there, and I thank you for the call. Hal says because this was a split with the Catholic Church so that Henry VIII could have more wives and get rid of some of the wives that he had and so on, that this is, I think Episcopalians will want to call up and defend their religion against what Hal has had to say. But if the UCLA Medical School research holds up, tells us that whether you're gay or you're straight is hardwired into your genetics. It's not a lifestyle choice. It might be for a few people, but in general, it's not a lifestyle choice. It's a genetic, it's what you are genetically, which is what a lot of people have been trying to say for a long time. 303-382-1150. And so, in other words, if we're all God's children, how can you get bent out of shape if somebody's a little bit this way or a little bit that way? Or if a bishop is gay or he's straight or he's... No, I think sexuality actually is a continuum. And there are a lot of gears now between park and neutral that didn't used to exist anymore. And I don't know if they even have designations, but there it is. Also, we're talking about this 20-year-old kid who's going to be charged with smuggling these box cutters aboard two planes in order to make the point that airport security, airline security, is not what it's cracked up to be, that it's largely the illusion of security, which I've been saying for a long time. And he has demonstrated it. And instead of the airlines or the feds being happy that he's found the loopholes, they are going to throw the book at this kid. And he's looking at very substantial jail time if they can make their case. Is that the right thing for them to do? 303-382-1150? Is there some intermediate thing that you can do besides letting him off the hook entirely or throwing away the key for 10 years or something? 303-382-1150. I think they should write him a thank you note myself. Eddie in Englewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. I guess the argument that you're making is if it's hardwired, that makes it okay, and they should become these Episcopal or these Anglican.
It's hardwired. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, no, that's the justification. You're saying they're hardwired. That's the way it is. Shouldn't be a problem. And I guess my question for you is, let's say it's hardwired for people to be want to have sex with children. Would you also agree that they should be priests?
Of course not.
Well, what's the difference?
There's a big difference.
No, they're hardwired. And it very well could be.
But you're talking hypothetically and you're talking nonsensically, Eddie. This is something that is quite actual. It's people who have a sexual preference one way or another. And it has to do with their genetics. This is according to the UCLA Medical School research.
I haven't
conducted the research.
If you look at child perverts, they're generally in prison multiple times.
What about people who call? What about people who call up talk shows and ask dumb questions? What if it's hardwired into their genetics? Do I need to take those calls, Eddie?
You can't. Well, I guess if you want to use logic, you can't use logic with you because I think it's a very common. It's a very similar.
But you're not using any logic. You've created a ridiculous hypothetical. We're not talking about that. We're talking about gay bishops, and we're talking about what if it's hardwired? What if it's in your genetic makeup, your sexual preference. And sexual preference is not against the law. Having sex with a kid, an adult having sex with a kid, is against the law and a violation of all of our, a violation of our mores. We're not talking about that.
Could be hardwired, however. Do you think the preference for that could be hardwired?
I have no idea. I can't speak about it. All I can talk to you about, Eddie, is what I do have some information on, and this is research coming in from UCLA, from the medical school, and they're talking about sexual preference. And the sexual preference, look, if you're hardwired to commit murder, what do we do to you?
You are punished.
Right. There you go. Bingo.
Well, the other comment I want to make is with regards to Ebonics, and my guess is you could go to inner-city black high schools in the city of Denver and hear that kind of language being taught and accepted in those schools. Why not address the problem of the horrific education that the teachers' unions hand out to those poor kids rather than the people who transcribe
and actually
say? Wait a minute.
The poor education is the result of the teachers' unions.
I believe so.
All 100% of the time. It's not a result of kids not wanting to learn.
They won't allow
kids
vouchers.
Coming.
They want to protect themselves. They want to protect their security.
Oh, vouchers. Vouchers are a way to run away. Vouchers, Eddie, are a way to run away from the whole issue of what's wrong with education. It's not a way to solve it.
Well,
just a way to run away.
Delivering that kind of language. And my guess is if you went into high schools in Denver today, you would hear that kind of language being spoken.
You might. And ask yourself, And ask yourself, why would you be hearing that language spoken?
Because teachers and teachers' unions put up with it.
Oh, wait. Let's really look at the problem, Eddie.
You can't fire them.
Eddie, let's really look at the problem instead of a little simplistic solution that you want to offer here. How about the whole culture that wants to talk a certain way in order to pose a certain way. In other words, you're sort of, there's sort of an acceptance in the culture.
Well, if that's the way the culture wants to talk, why would they be opposed to being having their language transcribed that way?
I'm not saying that they are opposed. I'm offended by it.
Oh, I think that there was quite a lot of outrage about this being a racist issue as far as transcribing it that way, and I think you're right. I think the culture itself is okay with it.
But see, you give these little two-cent, you know, reasons for things that are just superficial. I mean, go into, if you want to find out why is there a culture, why is there an Ebonics spoken, why is it accepted in some places and not in others instead of standard English. I mean, there's a whole universe here of rich, textured information, and it's not, well, it's the teachers' unions. I mean, that's got to be the dumbest. That's got to be the dumbest reason for that anybody could offer for it. I'm sorry to say, Eddie.
Do you think if the schools were handing out F's for that kind of language in English, that this would be perpetuated?
I don't know. Some schools probably. I think probably some schools you're not allowed to do it, and some schools it's accepted. And I don't think you can make a blanket generalization. 303-382-1150, and I encourage differing points of view here. I'm happy to talk with you. But, gee, come to the table with some knowledge of what's going on instead of a superficial explanation. Well, it's the teachers' union. Oh, yeah, every single teacher is bad. Well, if you're not Christian, there's no other religion except Buddhism. Oh, no, there's not Islam, there's not Judaism, there's not? Wow, 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNIC. Trying to deal with your many different insurance needs is like trying to navigate through an insurance jungle. There's auto and home insurance, plus health and life insurance. After trying to contact all these different insurance carriers, you feel like a caged animal. Well, now you can escape that jungle maze online. NQS will come to your rescue with the most competitive insurance quotes from some of the nation's leading insurance companies. This free service is yours in minutes online at NQS.com. Using their Colorado and nationwide resources, NQS.com will get your free quotes pronto. Just fill out a short, easy information form and that's it. Soon you'll have your free quotes from companies that'll compete with each other for your insurance business. You'll save time, trouble, and money. NQS. It's nice, quick, and simple. Log on now to NQS.com and get out of the insurance jungle. NQS.com, helping millions of folks since 1989.
This is the house that Jack built.
Daddy, faster!
The tree house. These are the 12 planks of wood Jack carried. The 200 nails he hammered. The broken ladder he climbed. And this is the back pain and the neck pain Jack had until he tried Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Because after he built the house...
What about the curtains?
Jack had to decorate. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Do you think that you need to donate hundreds or thousands of dollars to really help our nonprofits? There are many organizations where $15, $25, or $50 can make the difference in someone's life. Visit BlackTieColorado.com and click on The Difference. $15 can provide a 24-pack diaper bag for Senecor, and $100 will pay a monthly bill for a breast cancer patient at Sense of Security. Click on BlackTieColorado.com and make the difference today.
Talk to Alan Combs.
If I were running the Democratic Party, I would have the Democratic candidates for president talking about the need for border security, the need for airport security, the need to protect our homeland. Now we're hearing about possible Al-Qaeda attacks, but they're not raising the color level because they know that that's become a joke. I mean, the Republicans have done a very good job in terms of their image on security and military matters, but I think a lot of people do feel vulnerable, and I believe that that's not being addressed by the leadership right now.
Alan Combs, late night, starting at midnight on AM 1150 KNIC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
156 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, yours until 3 o'clock. We'll find out how women can learn to negotiate in the next hour. Let's go to the phones. Heather calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid on Enid Live.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to call in. Eddie kind of spurred me to this call, but
I'd like to say that, first of all, it's very refreshing to hear a voice like yours in Denver. And it's conversations like with Eddie that really make that a strong point. And I don't know, I'm a little annoyed that Eddie would be such a homo hater, basically, to say something to the effect that he can relate that with pedophilia and bestiality, that, you know, basically he needs to understand that homosexual sex is between two consensual adults, and people seem to forget that all the time and try to relate it with some other horrid, you know, thing that happens, you know, with humans.
Well, I'm with you, Heather. I don't have a problem with it, but a lot of people seem to, and I'm not quite sure why. A lot of people will say, well, it's about the Bible, but I think it has a more it hits a more personal note with a lot of people.
Well, I think it's just an excuse to hate, and they really can't come to grips with like a true explanation of why they have an issue with it, and so they try to throw out bestiality and pedophilia and all these things that are just ridiculous. And then, of course, everyone looks at homosexuals as, you know, pedophiles and, you know, freaky sexual people, and that's so not the case. And it's really frustrating. I just can't stand that about Denver sometimes, because we're kind of still in that Cowtown dark age a little bit. And I just want to say it's just refreshing that at least there's somebody out there at least arguing that point. But
well, thank you, Heather. I appreciate it. We're going to call this non-Cowtown radio.
Right.
Thanks for the call.
Sure.
303-382-1150. Ken, in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Well, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Well, I just want to make a little comment about the Christian religion to begin with. I mean, I find them very amusing. I mean, they have... picked a guy up out of the desert, you know, wearing a dress with 12 boyfriends and made a religion out of it. That's got to be the funniest basis for any religion. So I don't see why they have so much of a problem with gay people.
Well, the way you put it, Ken, definitely an idiosyncratic reading of a prominent religion. Linda on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I have been raised Catholic, so I know that in my faith, our priests are not allowed to have relationships one way or the other. Only the deacons are. So I was just kind of wondering, what is it about the Episcopalian church that makes this even an issue?
They're not allowed. They're not celibate like Catholic
they
priests.
They are allowed to be married and have relationships.
Yeah. Did you not know that, Linda?
I didn't know.
Well, listen, even though Catholic priests are supposed to be celibate, some of them are not, as it turns out. You probably know about that.
I do know that, yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time in this hour. Thank you for the call. in the next hour, Linda Babcock, she's a professor. She occurred to her that men were getting all the plummy jobs in universities and women weren't when she looked into it. It's because they never negotiated. They couldn't figure out how to ask for what they wanted. So we're going to find out how to ask, how to demand what you want and get it successfully, I hope. We'll find out. I'm Enid Goldstein. One more hour of Enid Live coming up right here.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny, 76 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Denver Water. Denver cops are busy today trying to find a suspect in the abduction of a teenage girl yesterday morning. The suspect was seen driving a four-door white Honda with tinted windows and a scorpion decal near the rear window. Detective Teresa Garcia says the number of leads DPD is getting is starting to taper off, but she has one request. Should you call in with information on that car?
Please get us a plate number, because by the time you call us and you tell us he's headed southbound on I-25 from Evans, you know, but if it's the time elapses and we don't have time to get out there, you know, when it's happening. So get us a plate number so we can follow up on that.
16-year-old Kayla Mitchell was missing for 8 hours before being found safe. She was not physically harmed. The suspect is Hispanic, about 5'4", with thinning black hair, a thick mustache, thick eyebrows, and a pot belly. He is believed to be 25 to 30 years of age. In the wake of Denver DA Bill Ritter's decision last week not to file charges against Denver police officer James Turney for the July
shooting death of 15-year-old Paul Childs. Protesters will rally this afternoon at Civic Center Park for a march to DPD headquarters. Denver Police Detective Teresa Garcia says DPD personnel will treat this protest like any other, even though they are the object of the protest.
We are prepared, and we are not doing anything different than we would in any other gathering or protest or any other large gathering.
The protest begins this afternoon at 4:30. A lone suspect held up the Outback Steakhouse on 120th and Thornton this morning. Thornton police officer Matt Barnes describes the suspect.
5'5", white male, 120 pounds. He was wearing black sweatshirt, blue jeans, had a black headband, was wearing sunglasses, carrying a black backpack, and displayed a small black handgun.
The stick-up happened before the restaurant opened. The suspect got away with an unknown amount of cash. The feds have charged a 20-year-old college student with violating aviation laws after he allegedly admitted to placing box cutters and other dangerous items aboard a pair of Southwest Airlines jets. The U.S. Attorney for Maryland, Thomas DiBaggio, says Nathaniel Heatwell is also accused of carrying concealed weapons aboard a number of flights.
The maximum penalty for this offense is 10 years. This charge is based on the defendant's carrying of weapons on board six Southwest Airlines flights in February, April, and September of this year.
DiBaggio says he will claims to have placed the items on the commercial airliners as far back as mid-September in an effort to highlight what he considered shortcomings of aviation security. He will is a student at Guilford College in North Carolina. Both the prosecution and defense have made their opening statements in the D.C. area sniper trial of John Allen Muhammad. The judge granted Muhammad permission to represent himself, and the accused sniper issued a rambling tirade during which he accused the prosecution of lying about him. Prosecutors told the jury they would present evidence that links Muhammad to the attacks that killed 10 people in the Washington, D.C. area last year. The evidence will include DNA materials gathered at some crime scenes and from the car in which Muhammad and his alleged accomplice Lee Boyd Malvo were apprehended. A CIA analysis has determined the voice on a new tape said to be from Osama bin Laden is most likely that it most likely did come from the terrorist mastermind. A spokesman for the spy agency says a thorough technical analysis was conducted on the tape aired on the Arab TV network Al Jazeera over the weekend, and the CIA assesses that the voice is likely that of Osama bin Laden. The voice on the tape urges Iraqis to wage a holy war against U.S. crusaders and vows to continue martyrdom operations, suicide attacks against Americans at home and abroad. Actor Alan Alda is hospitalized in Chile. The star of the Emmy Award-winning MASH television series of the 1970s and 80s is in the South American country to film a documentary for PBS. In MASH, Alda portrayed a doctor at a field hospital during the Korean War, performing emergency operations on soldiers wounded in action. Yesterday, real doctors performed an emergency operation on Alda to clear an intestinal obstruction. In sports, Steve Berline, who was filling in yesterday for injured quarterback Jake Plummer, is now injured too. Berline dislocated a finger on his throwing hand during yesterday's 28-20 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. The preseason continues tonight for the Denver Nuggets as they take on the Trailblazers in Portland. The Nuggets are 3-2 in the preseason so far. Keeping your shower to under 5 minutes can save up to 1,000 gallons of water a month. Visit denverwater.org for more water-saving tips. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or fan sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Taco Bell, and we're still trying to get those marbles out of the way. Southbound I-25 at Yale should be just about out of there. Northbound I-25 at I-70, look for an accident. It sounds like we have a car into a tree. I'm betting the car probably got more damage there at 27th and York. Taco Bell serves up quality ingredients like the grilled all-wheat white meat chicken and the freshly prepared zesty chicken bowl, available at participating locations. When you want quality, think outside the bun. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Broke the record high yesterday. Today will come close again with sunshine and a high of 81. Into tonight, mostly clear, down to 46, with sunshine returning on Tuesday, along with those warm temperatures, 81 for the high, all the way up to 82 on Wednesday under a mostly sunny sky. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 77 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined in studio by Judy Collins. President Clinton's biographer, David Marinus, who has a brand new book out. We are joined right now by Linda Babcock. She has written a book called Women Don't Ask, Negotiation and the Gender Divide. She is a James M. Walton Professor of Economics at Carnegie Mellon University. Linda Babcock, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Tell me, why did you write this book?
Well, I had a number of experiences with my graduate students that led me to believe that men approach things very differently than women. I used to direct the PhD program, and I noticed that men would come into my office and ask me for what they wanted. They'd ask me to print business cards with department resources. They'd ask to have some more research money. They'd ask to teach courses, and the women did not come in and ask. And they really expected that if I had opportunities available, I'd send around an email saying, hey, does anybody want this? And as a result, men were getting more things and more opportunities than were women.
So you found out that women don't ask for what they want, and so you decide. What does this tell you about women?
Well, it tells me that they've been socialized differently than men. Little girls are taught to focus on the needs of other people and not so much on themselves. And so when they grow up as women, they don't ask as much as men. And the studies that I did show that men ask between 2 and 9 times as much as women do.
Oh, my goodness.
It's huge.
And mostly they're asking for sex. But the thing is, women are great sexual negotiators, I think, so they do know how to negotiate some things.
No, that's right. And women are also terrific negotiators on behalf of other people. They do a great job when they're negotiating for their family, their colleagues, even their employers on the job. They can be great negotiators. It's just when it's something for themselves that they hold back.
The way your book begins, it begins thusly. Women don't ask. They don't ask for raises and promotions and better job opportunities. They don't ask for recognition for the good work they do. They don't ask for more help at home. In other words, women are much less likely than men to use negotiation to get what they want.
Yep.
And then you ask the question, why does this matter? Well, why does it, Linda Babcock?
Well, it's enormous. It matters a huge amount to a woman's life. Just take a really simple example. Take two students coming out of college, both 22. They get job offers for $25,000. One negotiates, say the man, and raises it to 30, and the other one accepts the $25,000. Now, that doesn't seem like an enormous difference, but by the time they reach 60, even if they get identical 3% raises throughout their career, the gap will have widened to over $15,000 by the time they're 60. And if you added up the amount that the man earned more because he negotiated that one time, it adds up to $586,000 for a one-time negotiation. Now, that's a pretty big return on investment for a five-minute conversation, don't you think?
That's pretty, yes, yes it is. All right, now what would your advice to women be?
First of all, just think about the world as being a more negotiable place. Identify what you want and just go ahead and ask for it, because men are out there asking for all kinds of things. For raises, for promotions, to have more responsibilities at work, to move them up the ladder. So just think about what you want and ask for it. I would say second, that women should gather information about what's appropriate to ask for, because women may not realize that they're being underpaid relative to men. And so women really need to do their homework in terms of what's right to ask for. And there are lots of ways to do this. You can use the internet to look up what salary is going for what kind of jobs, and you can talk to your friends. What do your colleagues make, and to get it kind of to benchmark to see what it is you're worth.
What's the major skill you need to negotiate well?
Well, first of all, you need to get to the negotiation table, because I could give you a ton of advice about what to do at the negotiation table. But if you don't actually ever initiate a negotiation, all that advice is going to be useless. So I would say that the first thing is really to ask for what you want, to start that negotiation for what you want.
Oh, and then they tell you no. No! We're not going to give you as much as the guy who's sitting next to you that you trained, that you know twice as much as is making. You're not going to make as much, so forget it. No negotiation.
Well, that's
take it or leave it.
Well, that women back down often at the first sign of resistance. So your boss may say no, but then you have to come back with something else, saying, okay, I understand you can't increase my salary by 10%. How much can you increase it by? Right? And so we have to learn that a negotiation is not just an ask and either a yes or a no.
All right, but if women are not used to negotiating, mm-hmm. and if the employer thinks that the person will back down after a momentary surge of enthusiasm,
mm-hmm.
I'll be the employer and you'll say to me, okay, if I can't get, what did you say, 10%?
10%.
What can you give me? And I'll say to you, nothing, forget it. If you want to keep your job, we can't. The budgets are in,
uh-huh.
they're closed, it's a terrible economy, you can't get any more money, take it or leave it.
Well, that's the other thing, is that women need to use their bargaining power. So if you really believe you're underpaid, you should go up and go out and get another offer for what you're worth and use that as leverage in the negotiation. Now, I know that today's economy is pretty tough, and so asking for salary increases is a little bit hard, but there are other things that women may like at work that they could want. They could ask for flex time. They could ask for being assigned a different project at work that might use their skills better. Lots of little things that are not all about money. It's about getting extra skills so that you're next in line for that promotion.
All right, once you get to the negotiation table, what do you say, if you were looking at, it doesn't matter men or women, what are the chief skills that are required to negotiate well? And why do women seem to shy away from that exercise?
I would say one is really being prepared, having done your homework. Like I said, it's important to gather information. But it's also especially important for women because women tend to bring in more anxiety into the negotiation, feel very tense about it. And so if women really prepare by, say, role-playing with a friend, you know, you have your friend play your boss, practice it a few times asking, and that's, you develop a skill which is kind of feeling in control of the process, being more self-confident, and that really boosts the ability for women to do well in negotiations.
So are you saying, Linda Babcock, that
yes.
women are actually more insecure than men? You know, they did a study a few years ago, and they asked men if they thought they looked attractive. And most men,
uh-huh.
these men sitting in wife-beater undershirts, thought they looked gorgeous. They themselves, that the men look good. Whereas most women, when asked by the researchers, do you think you're attractive enough, most women didn't think that they were, did not think that they were attractive.
Well, I think that's kind of that's a function of the images the media promotes about what women should look like versus men should look like. But I know also in the context of negotiation, women believe they're worse negotiators than men. And so walking in, they're going to be more anxious, more likely to concede because they're not confident about their negotiation.
Why
ability.
Don't they ask for stuff in the first place? Why are guys asking you, you're running this PhD
mm-hmm.
program, and they're asking you for all kinds of things, and the women don't think to ask you, or are they too anxious about asking, or does it simply not occur to them? Why do they not ask?
There's a whole host of reasons. It ranges from not realizing that you can ask, to not be socialized to ask for what you want. That we're taught that we teach little girls to be modest and humble and not to stick up for themselves, versus little boys are taught to go out and insert what it is that they want. It's also the way we treat women in our society. We have a double standard for what behavior we find acceptable in men and what behavior we find acceptable in women. And so sometimes people perceive that women are coming on too strong by asking for what they want.
Well, they're always going to perceive it. Anytime you ask for what you want, they're going to call you a bitch.
Well,
and they don't say that. They don't say the equivalent to a man.
No, in fact, that word doesn't even really apply to men. You know, bossy and pushy, those are words that are reserved
strident and shrill are two also in the armamentarium.
That's exactly right. So women, this is really sad to be saying in 2003, but women really have to pay attention to how they ask, So they can't come into their boss's office and say, hey, you give me a 10% raise or I'm leaving. That would be perceived as threatening, and we don't expect women to do that. We don't like it in our society for women to do that. A woman has to be a little softer. She has to come in and say, hey, I really like this job, but I have this other offer. Can you raise my salary 10%? And so that approach is going to be more successful for her than the more competitive approach.
All right. Do you give any, I'll tell you what I think is a good place for women to learn how to start to negotiate. Mm-hmm. It's a very down-home, simple way to do it. Go to the flea market and negotiate the price of something.
Yeah, that's easy.
A lot of people don't want to do that, men and women. They just can't, they won't.
Right.
They're uncomfortable with it. Whatever, in as Americans, whatever the price is marked, that's what you're supposed to pay.
No, you're absolutely right, because you have to start small. You can't. If you've never asked for something, you can't just start tomorrow and ask your boss for a big promotion, all right? That you need to incorporate negotiation into your everyday life. So you're exactly right. Go to the flea market. Try negotiating some things. You'll build up your confidence and your ability to react on the fly to what happens. And that's great advice for women.
And what thoughts would you leave us with, Linda Babcock? The book is called Women Don't Ask, Negotiation and the Gender Divide.
What thoughts? I would say that women need to realize the costs to not negotiating because they may seem small, but as the example I gave you a minute ago, not negotiating at the beginning of your career can lead to over $500,000 in lost wages. So that the costs are big, and women need to just get out there and ask.
So it's a matter of overcoming your anxiety. I think it's the fear of rejection, would you say?
I would say that's a part of it. And because women don't have as much practice with putting themselves out there to be rejected, it may feel worse for women because they're not as used to it.
But wait a minute. You just said that women are really great in negotiating on behalf of their families.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women are terrific fundraisers if they're volunteering
Absolutely.
For something. They go out there and they get merchants to donate stuff for the raffle so that the charity can do well and so forth. Now, how is it then that they are able to negotiate? They have the skills, but are
yes,
they
right.
too frightened to use it on their own behalf? They don't feel like they deserve
well,
the negotiation?
Well, it's always more personal when it's something that you want. So, for example, say you're asking for a raise and your boss says no. That's more of a personal rejection than when I'm asking for something on the behalf of my charity, right? And so it hits women harder. So
that it could be a personal rejection,
that's
in
right.
other words.
That's right.
They should try doing talk radio. You develop a very different outlook.
Yeah, that may be the case.
All right. So, in other words, don't take it as personally. Don't be as frightened of rejection. It's easy to say this stuff, but it's not so easy to get there.
Of course, and that's why really practicing beforehand can really make women feel a lot more calm and confident going in. And again, doing your homework, knowing what's appropriate to ask for. You know, if you're really underpaid, your boss is going to know it.
Yeah, but your boss is also going to know that you might not put up enough of a fuss about it, or that he'll be able to talk you in, or that he's clearly, you have to be willing, you know, you have to be willing to walk away, too.
Absolutely.
You have to be, it depends on what the negotiation is. I think what does not work, in whether it's in love or in business, is to throw out an ultimatum. Well, it's either me or your wife, kid.
That's right.
I mean, that never works.
That's right, and that's why I framed it as women have to worry about how they ask. Men don't have to worry about it so much because we're used to seeing a competitive tactics from men. But you're right. You can't approach it as an ultimatum. You have to approach it as, is there a way we can work this out? I'd really like to.
Linda Babcock, thank you so much for joining us today. She is a professor at Carnegie Mellon University's John Hines School of Public Policy and Management. She has a doctorate from the University of Wisconsin. Right?
Yes, I do.
And Women Don't Ask, Negotiation and the Gender Divide. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure as well.
Bye-bye.
Imeena Goldstein, we could have negotiated that. We should have negotiated something just for fun. Imeena Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. Barbara Bush has a brand new book out. Apparently so frank that in order to avoid lawsuits, according to her husband, the former president, George Sr., she had to take out a lot of stuff apparently she doesn't pull too many punches. I'm Enid Goldstein. We'll share all of that as we continue. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Some stations brag about serving 35 states. We're proud to serve Denver. Local radio, AM 1150 KNRC.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Velcaro.com.
Summer's almost over, and you know what that means. Time to get into cool Labor Day deals at Radio Shack. Get 10% off anything in the store now through Labor Day when you open a new Radio Shack Answers Plus credit card account. Use it to buy cool stuff like wireless phones with built-in cameras, computers, and MP3 players. Applying is easy, so beat the heat by saving some cold cash at Radio Shack.
10% discount on qualified purchases paid with newly approved Radio Shack Answers Plus credit card through 9103 at participating stores. Services, phone orders, online, and special orders excluded may not be combined with any other discount offer. Void where prohibited.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:23 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. It's come to my attention that some of you don't always know what station you're listening to. So if we do a pop quiz, be ready to answer. Do you know what station you're listening to? This is AM, what are the four numbers? 1150, maybe? KNRC. AM 1150 KNRC. One person just called and wanted to know who our author was. It was Linda Babcock. Okay, here's what we've been talking about. If you're just joining us, you've missed a lot, but it's not too late. You have missed a lot. You've missed Nicholas Davies coming to us live from London. I think he's going to be on CNN today if he hasn't already in London to talk about Princess Diana. A new letter that emerges in her handwriting that she said that people were plotting against her and she thought it was going to be a car accident. And she mentions the person she thinks was plotting against her, and it's been redacted to the English audience. But Nicholas Davies shared the information. It's Prince Philip, who he said had been trying to put the moves on her as well and was the royal family's contact to military intelligence and or to the intelligence branches in England. And according to his research, he does think that it was something that the English intelligence in concert with French intelligence pulled off, and that American intelligence did get a heads up in advance. So that was Nicholas Davies talking about the explosive story emerging today about Princess Diana knowing in advance that she would probably die by auto accident because she had somehow gotten some advance word. We've also been talking about the Paul Childs shooting. We know that the officer, and this was announced last week, is not going to face criminal charges, but there is a protest today starting at 4:30. And it seems to me that Mayor Hickenlooper said not enough. And I haven't heard any announcements from the Denver Police Department that they were going to do business differently. And it turns out, according to Jim Spencer today in the over the weekend, the Denver Post, that the transcripts were ebonically rendered so that they come out, I axe him or police and so on. I just got an email from Justin, and Justin says that he's been an avid listener to the show, but he says he thinks that everybody should have acted more creatively than they did. But he says we've already got a stretch-thin police force, and using it as a disciplinary tool by the parents of children with persistent behavioral issues is probably not the best way to go. We're also talking about research that's come in from UCLA, the medical school, that tells us that sexual identity is hardwired by genetics. In other words, if you're gay, it's not necessarily a lifestyle choice. More likely, it's a genetic occurrence. And so this affects the first openly gay Episcopal bishop elect at the moment. And whether or not that should go forward, some of the hardcore conservative Episcopalians don't like the idea. But if it's hardwired, what are your choices in the matter? 303-382-1150. Barbara Bush has called the Democratic lineup for the presidential candidates a sorry group. She has described the Democrats who are trying to unseat her beloved son as a sorry group of politicians. So far, she says they're a pretty sorry group, if you want to know my opinion. This is the world, according to Barbara Bush, not George, not George H.W., not anybody, she added. Her husband, Poppy, Daddy Sr., also had some harsh words for the Democratic contenders, whom he accused of using, quote, vicious rhetoric. In her book, she's got a brand new book coming out that, apparently they had to take a lot out because they had to take a lot out of the book because for libel issues. But she was apparently very candid, so that should help the sales of the book. But here's a reporter from Newsweek magazine accompanying her, and she just sounds like she's extremely nasty. For example, she goes to a volunteer organization, and she helps them out, and they give her a corsage. And then later on the way home, she bitches about the corsage, that she can't stand flowers, she hates flowers, and they should have saved the money. I mean, it's just filled with anecdotes like that. And don't forget, she's the one who called Geraldine Ferraro that word that rhymes with witch. Well, Barbara Bush, who had an identity as a grandmotherly kind of woman, you know, after Nancy Reagan, the brittleness of Nancy Reagan and that kind of anorexic social x-ray presentation that she was so good at. Here you have the very motherly Barbara Bush, who looks a lot older, or then looked a lot older than her husband, who refused to dye her hair, who always said that she wore three strands of costume jewelry, pearls, fake pearls, to hide the wrinkles in her neck. And so, in many ways, she was considered refreshing. Well, the real Barbara Bush was a different kind of person entirely. The real Barbara Bush has the reputation as being the silver fox, the family enforcer. She's the one who can be very tough. And don't forget, there were lots of rumors around that Poppy was having an affair with somebody, an aide in the State Department. What was her name? Jennifer Fitzgerald or something? Remember? So I don't know what the real scoop is, but in any event, Barbara Bush is one tough cookie. And this book coming out probably will be interesting to read for that reason, if for no other. And it'll be interesting to see if we can get her on the program, since I'm not too much a fan of her son. We'll try, though. We're Democratic around here. That would be small d. 303-382-1150. In addition, you have one of the other things we're talking about is a 20-year-old student who's under investigation, a college student, for being the guy who smuggled in the box cutters and some other forbidden stuff in two airplanes where they sat for 5 weeks before anyone realized they were there. He was trying to make a point about airport security, but instead of thanking him, the feds want to throw the book at him, and it looks like he could do serious jail time. Like, you know, really. I mean, seriously. A decade. You may want to weigh in on that. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Bin Laden. Tape is out on... Bin Laden tape is likely to be authentic. There's a new tape that came out over the weekend. Spokesman and CIA officials believe that the tape was recorded in the last 6 months, citing specific references to recent events. So apparently he's alive. The Bin Laden on the tape gave specific figures for the U.S. economy, saying the country is facing a deficit of more than $450 billion. And the latest audio tape is talking about, more violence that's going to happen, more suicide attacks both inside and outside the United States. It looks like President Bush's approval ratings among a group of constituents that are the most likely to vote is slipping badly. A critical electoral block for President Bush, and it's particularly critical because these are the people who live in contentious states. These are seniors, older voters. His support with them is slipping, and part of the reason is they don't like the deficit. They are the ones whose portfolios are quite affected by the economy, and they are the people who really get out there and vote. So President Bush's popularity is slipping with this group, and conservatives are now all over the place talking about, first, if you disagreed with going to war, you were unpatriotic if you dissented in any way. Now, if you question Bush in any way, shape, or form, here's what the conservative talk hosts, radio talk hosts are calling you. They're calling you a Bush hater, that you're a hater of Bush. Well, I don't think you necessarily have to hate him. I just think he's incompetent. I don't hate him. I think he's pretty affable and pretty charming. I just think he's a dope. That's all. I don't think he should be president of the United States. Very simple. 303-382-1150. Molly Ivins, in her column, says she doesn't hate Bush. He just is angry that he's in office, especially since he wasn't really elected. 303-382-1150. So, again, this is the regime's way of manipulating the conversation. If you criticize Bush in any way, you're a Bush hater. Catherine, calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'll address this last thing that you addressed, but I must tell you why I fell in love with Mrs. Bush. I'm sure a number of your listeners remember the Japan situation at dinner.
Where Poppy threw up?
Indeed, up chucked all over the, and Mrs. Bush, with all of those alleged helpers and people that should have been in charge, Mrs. Bush was the one that took over, saved his dignity, and saved the dignity of the United States, really.
Okay, well, and she should. He's her husband. I mean, any wife would do that, wouldn't she? If she weren't paralyzed with embarrassment.
Can you see Nancy Reagan doing anything other than
Nancy Reagan
and falling and saying, "Oh, poor Ronnie"?
Nancy Reagan was the biggest protector of her husband. She would whisper in his ear and tell him how to answer questions from reporters.
Yeah, but I don't know that she had the know-how to handle a situation as embarrassing as that one.
Well, it's an embarrassing situation, and if you're not mortified with embarrassment and you get yourself in gear, Nancy Reagan was one smart and tough cookie, and so is Barbara Bush, from what I can tell.
Well, Barbara Bush really was, but I never saw it, Nancy. But and the other reason that I adored Nancy Mrs. Bush is at the White House, she came out on the back lawn away from the press and played with her dogs. And, of course, there were a lot of Secret Service around and so forth. But
this is why you liked her, Catherine?
Oh,
I mean, this is like a photo op.
No. There was no public around except those of us hanging on the fence going.
All right. So you're a fan of Barbara Bush?
Only Barbara.
Okay. I think.
And then may I reply to your Bush hating quotation? And it really makes me mad when people say, "I hate Bush, and I do not support my troops." It is not that I hate Bush. It is the things he does and continues to do. He has alienated us from the United Nations, from all of our allies, from people that used to be our friends, and he is, it's my way or no way. And that is not hating Bush. That is hating Bush's, whatever they call this bellicose individual.
All right, Catherine, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150, Dan on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Well, maybe this will make your day, Enid, but I heard some Hollywood insider today talking over that Walmart station across the way.
Yeah?
That your buddy Rush, some guy's coming forward saying that he had a homosexual affair with Rush in college in 1971.
Wait, where'd you get this?
This was on Lewis and Florak's show this morning with some Hollywood insider.
Are you sure it wasn't just a parody?
No, there's more details to follow, so
All right, let's
National Enquirer ready.
I got my National Enquirer. It's all fired up, and the steam is pouring out of it. And the latest from the National Enquirer about Rush is that the attorney for his housekeeper, who was his pusher, you know, has said, "Thank goodness for the National Enquirer. It's helped to save Rush's life." But I haven't heard anything more than that.
Yeah, it's just. This is
you sure it wasn't? You sure it wasn't
breaking
just a,
news?
Or no, breaking nudes.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
But your buddy might have more skill in his closet than you could ever imagine.
Well, all I know is he avoided service. I'm going to make a very bad joke here. He avoided service in Vietnam because he had a boil or something on his behind. But maybe that wasn't all he had going. All right, Dan. I thank you for thanks for the heads up, so to speak.
Bye.
Yeah, 303-382-1150. Has anybody heard about this? We're looking madly to see if there wasn't a parody somewhere for this is actually a true story. Well, maybe that's why he's been married for three times. He's and the latest one he met on the internet. I mean, girls, get yourself lined up on his internet. I mean, she just fell into a vat of money. He's a guy. He said Rush Limbaugh doesn't like to walk in New York. He doesn't like to do anything. He doesn't like to shop. He doesn't like to window shop. He doesn't like to take advantage of any of the cultural stuff when he's in New York, and he lived there for quite a while. He only likes New York because you can order any kind of food in, and that's exactly what he did. He ordered his bride in through the net. That's all I can think of, and now she's living in this $30 million estate, married to somebody who, gosh, has a lot of problems, I guess. You know, you marry for money, you wind up earning every penny of it is what I think. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 76 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Denver Water. Denver police still on the lookout for the suspect in the abduction yesterday morning of 16-year-old Kayla Mitchell. She was missing for about 8 hours before being found safe and unharmed physically. The suspect is Hispanic, about 5'4", with thinning black hair, a thick mustache, thick eyebrows, and a pot belly. He's believed to be 25 to 30 years of age. Protesters will gather at Civic Center Park this afternoon at 4:30 and then march to Denver Police Headquarters to protest last week's decision by the Denver DA to not file charges against DPD officer James Turney. He shot and killed 15-year-old Paul Childs in June. Still no word from Eagle County Judge Frederick Gannett on whether Kobe Bryant will stand trial for the sexual assault of a 19-year-old hotel worker in June. During last week's preliminary hearing, Gannett said he would have a decision this week, possibly as early as today. A 20-year-old North Carolina college student is charged with violating aviation laws by allegedly carrying a concealed weapon aboard a number of different commercial flights. Prosecutors say Nathaniel Heedwall could be sentenced to prison for 10 years if convicted. Heedwall is accused of placing box cutters and other suspicious items on two Southwest Airlines planes. The trial of D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad is underway. Prosecutors said today they will present evidence linking Muhammad to the crimes that left 10 dead last fall. The judges gave Muhammad permission to defend himself, and he delivered a rambling opening statement accusing prosecutors of lying about him. The CIA says its analysis of a purported Osama bin Laden tape indicates the voice on the tape is that of the al-Qaeda leader. The voice vows continued attacks on U.S. citizens, both at home and on foreign land. In a related development, continued post-war fighting in Iraq has claimed the life of one more American soldier. In sports, a dislocated finger will keep Denver Broncos backup quarterback Steve Beuerlein on the sidelines for a couple of weeks. Beuerlein injured the finger on his throwing hand during the Broncos' 28-20 defeat at the hands of the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. Denver Nuggets are on the road to Portland for a preseason game with the Trailblazers tonight. The Nuggets are 3-2 in the preseason. Fixing a leak can save 500 gallons of water a month. For more water-saving tips, visit denverwater.org. Together, we can make a big difference. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:39.
Belcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Belcaro was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Belcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Belcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision.
They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcarro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at belcarro.com.
KNRC News Time is 2:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Diamond Shamrock Corner Stores and Nestle. Left shoulder, eastbound I-70 between Sheridan and Federal. Watch for an accident there. Two cars. One car's into the center lane, or in the center barrier. Watch for that. Also, we do have a problem. It's going to be, it looks like construction worth Kalamath and Bayot. That's going to be there for about another half an hour. What's your favorite, Nestle Crunch, Butterfinger, or Baby Ruth at Diamond Shamrock Corner Stores? Buy two and get one free, including Nestle's new Toll House Cookie and Brownie Candy Bars. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Broke a record high of 86 degrees yesterday, nearing the record high today with sunshine and a high of 81. Into tonight, mostly clear, 46, and we really do not have a lot to talk about the next few days. Just some sunshine on Tuesday, a high of 81. Mostly sunny Wednesday, 82. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 76 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Trying to deal with your many different insurance needs is like trying to navigate through an insurance jungle. There's auto and home insurance, plus health and life insurance. After trying to contact all these different insurance carriers, you feel like a caged animal. Well, now you can escape that jungle maze online. NQS will come to your rescue with the most competitive insurance quotes from some of the nation's leading insurance companies. This free service is yours in minutes online at NQS.com. Using their Colorado and nationwide resources, NQS.com will get your free quotes pronto. Just fill out a short, easy information form and that's it. Soon you'll have your free quotes from companies that'll compete with each other for your insurance business. You'll save time, trouble, and money. NQS. It's nice, quick, and simple. Log on now to NQS.com and get out of the insurance jungle. NQS.com, helping millions of folks since 1989.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major indexes open the week in the plus column, despite a report showing a decline in the index of leading economic indicators. That report had the first drop since March. Let's take a look at those numbers now. The Dow Industrials rose 56 points to 9,778. The NASDAQ gained 13 points to 1925. The S&P 500 added 5 points to 1045. Big board volume is nearly 1.2 billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by a 9-7 margin. AT&T provided the Dow's biggest percentage lift, rising almost 5% a day before it releases its quarterly profit report. Fellow Dow stocks Citigroup and 3M released their reports today. Citigroup topped expectations, but revenue missed at least one analyst estimates, stock down 26 cents. 3M climbed $1.43 after beating estimates and raising its profit outlook for the year. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150.
KNRC. 2:44 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. Judy Collins is going to be with us live in studio tomorrow, so I hope you'll join us. President Bush's biographer, David Marinus, will be with us on Wednesday. He has written a new book. He's also an editor at the Washington Post. It's a book about Vietnam. They marched into sunlight. War and Peace, Vietnam and America, October 1967. Twyla Tharp, the great choreographer, is going to be with us on Thursday. Why? Because she's written a book about creativity. God knows we all need to be more creative. And in this mediocre standard that is all that's required of us lately, in this society, it would be nice to remind ourselves how beneficial creativity can be and how you can become more creative in your own life. So I'm very interested to talk to Twyla Tharp. The State Department did a study. This is amazing. If you're just tuning in, one of George Bush's principal forms of support is eroding big time, and that's among older voters. And why older voters are important is that older voters vote, for one thing. And they have been supportive of President Bush. They also live in states where there can be some, you know, like Florida, where there can be some real fireworks. So it looks like he's losing their support. And in part, he's losing their support because they are more attuned to the deficit. They're more attuned to problems with the economy because they are more affected by them. And they don't like the way he's doing business. So this is a very big problem for the administration. At the same time, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the State Department and the Pentagon have been at odds with each other. State Department, Colin Powell, Pentagon, Donald Rumsfeld, Mr. Belligerent. Well, it turns out the State Department, well before we went to war with Iraq, the State Department conducted a study and predicted many of the problems that have now plagued the occupation of Iraq. And this is according now to internal State Department documents and interviews with administration and congressional officials. Now, I don't think you've heard very much about this. I mean, this is astonishing. Beginning in April 2002, the State Department project assembled more than 200 Iraqi lawyers, engineers, business people, other experts into 17 working groups to study topics ranging from creating a new justice system to reorganizing the military to revamping the economy. Their findings included a much more dire assessment of Iraq's dilapidated electrical and water systems than many Pentagon officials assumed. Remember, they went in with a, Pentagon went in with this rosy scenario that we're going to be greeted as liberators. They're going to give us flowers in the street. They're going to kiss us. They're going to hug us and so on. But in fact, the State Department had it nailed. They said it's really a lot more dire than the Pentagon realized. And they warned of a society so brutalized by Saddam Hussein's rule that many Iraqis might react coolly to Americans' notion of quickly rebuilding civil society. Several officials said that many of the findings in the $5 million study were ignored by Pentagon officials until recently, although the Pentagon said that it took the findings into consideration. This was an eerily prescient study forecasting the widespread looting in the aftermath of the fall of Hussein's government. And it was caused in part, and this again you didn't see widely reported, the looting was caused in part by the fact that thousands of criminals had been set free from prison. And what the report recommended is that force should be used to prevent the chaos. So, the period immediately after regime change, according to the State Department report, well in advance of us going into Iraq, that the Pentagon absolutely ignored for political reasons. The State Department report said, the period immediately after regime change might offer these criminals the opportunity to engage in acts of killing, plunder, and looting, the report warned, urging American officials to organize military patrols by coalition forces in all major cities to prevent lawlessness, especially against vital utilities and key government facilities. Despite the scope of this project, the military office initially charged with rebuilding Iraq never even learned of this report until a major government drill for the post-war mission was held in Washington in late February, less than a month before the conflict began. So here was this report that had been prepared well in advance, and the people who would be charged with rebuilding Iraq never even knew of its existence. Is that amazing? And the man overseeing the plan, a guy named Tom Warrick, who's a State Department official, so impressed the aides to Jay Garner, a retired Army Lieutenant General heading the military's reconstruction office, that they tried to recruit this guy to join their team. He oversaw some of the report. But guess what? He didn't get the job. He was so impressive they wanted to hire him immediately. Why didn't he get the job? Top Pentagon officials blocked his appointment, and much of the project's work was shelved, State Department officials said. Warrick himself declined to be interviewed, and this is the New York Times reporting all this. Officials acknowledge, and this is a bombshell, that the United States was not well prepared for what actually occurred. Chiefly widespread looting and related security threats, even though the State Department study predicted them. So because the State Department is at odds with the Pentagon, or actually the Pentagon is at odds with the State, the Pentagon is at odds with everybody. It was at odds with the intelligence, our intelligence services. So what did the Pentagon do? The Pentagon created its own intelligence service and began to politicize what was going down because you were surrounded by all these ideologues telling the idiot in chief here what to do and how to and what to say, and the idiot in chief, of course, being our alleged president. So here you have all these ideologues. They don't depend on and don't trust our intelligence services, so they created an intelligence service within the Pentagon. They didn't trust the State Department. So here is a State Department report that predicted what would happen in Iraq if we went in and what to prepare for. And the Pentagon absolutely shelved the report. They did nothing. And the report predicted what we would be facing. Now, in the name of politics, and I'm sure we've all worked in situations in our offices, in our work lives, where it's been so politicized that the truth of something is completely ignored, and that's what you have here. You have people who are so blinkered by their ideology that they don't see the truth, and this is what's leading us. And this is another reason for the incompetence that I have seen time and time again coming out of this administration. It's incompetence in Iraq, and whose children are they putting at risk? Not theirs. 303-382-1150. Oh, a reality in check in Iraq? Guess what? The U.S. is facing a long stay. Really long. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Locally owned, locally programmed. AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapahoe Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Mendota.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Mendota.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Get a Mendota. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
It's a soft, velvety black with a subtle blaze of red. Its graceful strength will stir your senses. This is Australia's own Black Swan, the perfect symbol for Black Swan Shiraz, an elegant, full-bodied red wine that's bold yet remarkably smooth. It captures the true essence of Australia. Awaken your sense of adventure. Discover Australia's Black Swan Shiraz. Imported by Black Swan USA, Hillsborough, California.
KNRC Community Commitment.
Net Results Junior Tennis is an after-school program that teaches kids tennis to help them improve academic performance and increase self-esteem. They are currently looking for volunteers, tutors, and tennis coaches for schools located in Montbello, Park Hill, and 39th and Steele. The after-school program is twice weekly on Mondays and Wednesdays. Coaches and literacy teachers will receive a small payment. If you are interested in helping Net Results, go to netresultsonline.net.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the three-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:54 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. Remember, Judy Collins in tomorrow live in the studio. I just got this email from Jennifer. One of you just called to say that there was some allegation of homosexual activity that Rush Limbaugh engaged in. And I said, are you sure it wasn't a parody or something on Lewis and Florwax? Well, according to Jennifer, let me share her email. Enid, I just heard your caller report the story he heard on Lewis and Florwax. Florex this morning about Rush Limbaugh being gay. The story is not a parody. There is a report surfacing that during Rush's, this is Rush Limbaugh now we're talking about, during Rush's college years at Southeast Missouri State, where I think he was there for 5 or 10 minutes, he was introduced to a male through his sister who was apparently openly gay, and I had never heard that, and apparently the two men had a gay encounter. The man who had the encounter with Rush is the person allegedly spreading the story now. Lewis and Florwax have a Hollywood reporter call into their show daily with an update about Hollywood gossip, usually true stories. He broke the current steroid doping story with all the Olympic athletes and Barry Bonds and so forth a month ago, and it's now being reported widely. The Hollywood reporter's name is Mike Evans. He is a syndicated reporter. He has daily reports on 500 stations nationally. Lewis and Florwax asked Mike if he had heard the story about Rush. He said he had, and that he was checking with sources to receive and confirm more information. So that's where it is at this point. 303-382-1150. Stephen calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Stephen.
Very quickly, I have a branding positioning statement for the Bush administration.
Yes, what is it?
It's the puppetry of the penis. That's all for today.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Well, there, that was just as pleasantly cheesing as the puppetry of the penis is. That's good. Thank you very much for that. Coming up, Doug Kellett from 3 to 6 and Dominic and Billy from 6 to 9 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. And again tomorrow, Judy Collins. One other thing, companies are only getting a few days to offer bids for the work in Iraq, so some of these are extremely complicated contracts, and you only have about 3 days or so to get your bid in order. So guess what? It means that the same old companies are going to get the work, like Halliburton, and how many else would be in Halliburton? I don't think our regime leader in chief might know the answer to that question. Doug Kellett, what are you going to be talking about today?
How are you doing today?
Doing well. How was your weekend?
Very good, very good. Boy, is it warm around here? This isn't normal, is it? I think it was like 86 yesterday, which I think set a record.
I know.
Yeah.
Global warming.
That may be the reason.
Yeah, that's right.
Could be.
They're not doing anything about it. We've had this little window of about 2 seconds in the whole. Like the pantheon of zillions of years, where we get to be human beings, and then it's going to close up, and that's it.
Well, maybe that's it. I don't know, but certainly feels a lot warmer. That's for sure. So I think they call it Indian summer. I don't know if it's global warming, but maybe that's it.
Yeah, global warming.
We're going to talk a little bit more about really the, I guess you'd call it the shooting by the police over the weekend. Maybe how it ties into some of what we talked about on Friday with the Paul Childs case as well. We did ask the district attorney to be on with us today, but he's not going to be able to be here. But we'll kind of go over some of that. And we'll also talk after 5 o'clock about school violence.
At 4:30, you know, there's a demonstration.
That's right, going on today.
Yeah, so you'll be on deck when that gets itself resolved.
And I don't guess we've heard about the judge's decision in the Kobe Bryant case.
No,
today,
not yet. Not, but I'm sure it'll go to trial, don't you think?
Oh, I would think so. But if that comes down, we'll have that for you then.
Okay, Doug Kellett from 3 to 6 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. And tomorrow, Judy Collins. On Wednesday, David Marinus, who was President Clinton's biographer, he wrote a wonderful book called First in His Class. And he's got a new book out. He's a Washington Post editor called They Marched into Sunlight, War and Peace, Vietnam and America, October 1967, Thursday, Twyla Tharp. I have a lot of people that I want to thank. I want to thank Joe Anderson, who produced today's show. I want to thank Jordan Lyles, who keeps us on the air. And you may have heard him make his debut over the weekend on our sister station, 1510. What were your hours? 3 to 6 on Sunday. So listen to Jordan when you can, but you have to listen to AM 1150 KNRC. That's your job in life. I'm Enid Goldstein. Let's do this again tomorrow. Start your day with Greg Dobbs, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here. 10 a.m. to noon is Bill O'Reilly. Noon to 3, moi.